This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
And three of the five local delegate assemblies passed the term length amendments. These will be submitted to the general membership of all five stations for a vote on the election ballots sent out in October. For more information, go online to pacifica.org and look for bylaws amendment on the right-hand side. Or call your local station to request a copy of the proposed bylaws change.
KPFT, Houston.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
You know, Jimmy, they say if it's too loud, you're too old. Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. I don't have the energy to go to the full-blown thing. If you want to hear the normal opening, go to the archive.
Okay, well, can you tell folks who you are?
I don't know. If the wind is still boarded up, I'm John Doe. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one. And it's just 1 week away.
What is?
Duh.
I thought it was 2 weeks away.
Maybe it is 2 weeks. What is this?
1 week away is Labor Day weekend.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're not going to do it then. That's too early.
Yeah.
Okay. 2 weeks away from our 20th anniversary.
God, you think I'm tired now? Wait till I actually move myself.
You mean the contents of your living quarters, not your personal body?
Well, that too. It's the second floor.
I'm so...
Well, yes, you moved your parents today.
I helped. Actually, I moved my stuff out of their house into their new house for 2 weeks until I can move it into my new apartment.
Oh, is that how that's working?
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh, God.
Well, you know, it's a lot easier than moving to the place where I'm staying at right now, because then it's up to the second floor and then down off the second floor up to the next second floor.
Oh, okay. I guess.
Yes.
Mm. Well, this is the fourth Saturday of the month.
Hey, you got one of the dates right.
And we have a new After Hours quickie.
Oh, we do?
You're looking at her.
I love you, too.
I thought we were supposed to have another group coming in also this week.
I don't know. Are they here?
No.
Guess not, then. Who was it supposed to be?
Wasn't the Misfits coming in this week, or is it next week?
Either this week or next week.
Yeah.
I don't know. No, it's next week, because they are promoting the Misfits Ball, which happens to be September the 9th.
I'm turning off your mic because you're whispering.
Two Sundays from now is the Misfits Ball, which is happening over at Meridian, I believe.
I forget where.
Yeah. And, yes, they'll be here with the Colt 45s.
Okay.
That'll be next week.
They were smart. They talked to both of us, and neither one of us really remember what's going on.
Yes. Yeah. You know.
What a welcome change.
Sure. At least you knew, huh? No, Judy Reeves is here for After Hours Quickie. Judy Reeves is representing Gulf Coast Archive and Museum, GCAM. So that'll be fun. I don't know. And we may keep her permanent for the fourth Saturday.
You know, last time she was here, we got the gunshots 24 hours later. I don't think she's a good luck charm.
Oh, please, not after the week we've had. No, don't go there. Anyway, some things going on in the community. I don't have much on Arisa's this week, actually. I didn't get anything from them. But I do have a couple of little goodies here from Phil, who is in another incarnation, Lillian Devereaux. And it's just a quick personal note to wish Mr. Bob Skinner a very happy birthday. And yes, he's 237 years old today. And it's also...
He knows that because he babysat him.
Yeah. It's the happy 6th anniversary of Phil and Bob. And Phil says, thank you so much for all the bull you put up with and all the love and support you give me daily. I love you and I know you love me as well, which makes all we face worth it.
Phil and Bob? Sounds like the plotline to a porno.
Bob Skinner is just a big old sweetheart who is a member of Arisa's, and Phil is his lover, who is Lillian Devereaux, who does a lot, as Lillian Devereaux, she does a lot of shows over at Tony's Corner Pocket. I believe she's the show director over there, as a matter of fact.
No, I've never been there.
And speaking of Bob Skinner, you've never been to Tony's?
No.
Oh, my. Next time you have some extra dollar bills to get rid of, a Friday and Friday night would be best when they have their little boys taking their clothes off. But Bob Skinner is also involved in something as a fundraiser for Arisa's. On Thursday, September the 13th, Bob will be hosting a gallery opening / auction at Eastman Gallery, 1110 North Post Oak Road, number 3. Sorry, Bob, I choked on the big ones. North Post Oak Road, number 310, benefiting Legacy Community Health Services.
Say that when that gag reflex comes back.
Through Arisa's Coronation 24. The gallery opening will feature works by many well-known Houston artists, some of which are donating works for the auction. Come join us for cocktails, browse the show, and bid on the auction items. It will be a fun evening, mixing and meeting new interesting people. Anyway, there's that. Do you have something?
Yeah, especially since you're going in convulsions over there. The Sisters Boughton proudly presents That's What Friends Are For on Sunday. How evil of me to pick up something Sunday with him running out the door. Sunday. September 2nd at EJ's, 2517 Ralph Street. It's a direct benefit for Bearing Support Network through Rain 23 of
Arisa's. The Empire of the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court of the Single Star.
Inc.
Yes.
Dinner will be served at 5. Benefit show starts at 7. If you'd like to make and serve a pasta dish, please contact Marsha Mink Gill at MarshaMinkGill@Yahoo.
I plan on doing that.
You cook?
Believe it or not.
Oh.
People have eaten my food and lived.
He makes great jello.
Oh, he does? He makes great jello?
Yes, I do.
And she knows she's eaten it and lived.
And lived.
Spaghetti Jell-O.
Ew. Chris.
It's a pasta dish. How else are you going to mix pasta with Jell-O?
Well, hey.
I guess if you make them a little balls, you can... Nah. If you want to perform in the show, please contact Yorkie Wood at YorkieWood, drop the E, at AOL.com.
Yorkie Wood what?
Yorkie, Y-O-R-K-I.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, kill her mic?
Yeah, kill her mic. She's whispering.
He finally gave me permission to kill her mic.
I haven't said a thing.
You're whispering. You're playing with your pen.
You're doing things.
All you need to do is fall asleep and start smacking your lips into the microphone, and we're going to start calling you.
No. Don't even.
I'll get
even. She already knows who it is. Okay. Yes.
Save the date. October 7th, a sister's fundraiser at South Beach. 810 Pacific Street from 4 to 8. Raffle items and auction items will be on display.
This is the decadent dessert thing, isn't it?
And it's getting down to there somewhere.
Okay.
Entertainment co-MCs Cat Moon and Jerry Gonzalez, a.k.a. Candy St. James. Performances by Sisters of Avalon. Watch our celebration of dance tunes from Katie Lang to Melissa Etheridge. And finally, the We Are Family Dreamcatchers country dance team director from the BRB. Featured catering restaurants, the Carter and Cooley Company, Rainbow Lodge, Amanda's Bakery, Jim Benton Catering, Trevisio's, Starbucks, and more to come. For more information and to purchase tickets, you can go to myspace.com/decadentdessert2007, myspace.com/assisters, or you can go to Carter and Cooley Salon, Marquee and Boutique, Tim Wild at Mail You Wear, Bering United Methodist Church, or Resurrection Metropolitan Community Church.
Wow.
During services. Tickets are $20 in advance, $25 at the door. And for more information, go to assisters.org.
Okay. Tomorrow, actually later on today, is the Prince and Princess Ball for ICOH, the Space City Empire. And it presents, ICOH, the Space City Empire, presents the Prince and Princess Ball, a night at the drive-in in honor of Crown Prince Royale Craig Farrell and Crown Princess Royale Sarah Scholander. That is August the 26th at Blur, which is located at 710 Pacific Street. Doors open at 5 p.m. and the ball begins at 6. Theme-inspired snacks and guest entertainers. So that's going to be a little kind of, you know, tricky there. I mean, you're probably not old enough to remember drive-in movies too much, huh?
Yes, I do. Thank you very much.
Oh, and all of the lovely and nutritious food that you could get at the snack bar.
It's the same type of crap you get at the current one. Except it's four times as much.
Oh. Well, okay.
In fact, yes, I remember being in the back of a station wagon, going to a drive-in theater, watching the Bad News Bears in Breaking Training.
Ooh.
It was a triple feature. The Bad News Bears with Roller Coaster and The Car. I'll take crap movies of the 70s for $500, Alex.
I guess you can. Yes.
I'm sorry. Did I let that slip out? And you can still go to the drive-in theater.
Yes. And then later on that evening at around 8 o'clock is live. Don Gill Productions presents Live, a fundraiser for PWA Holiday Charities going on at the VRB. Then, let's see, one other thing I have here for ICOH is a jukebox show that's happening. Of course, jukebox shows are every Wednesday night, but this is a very special one that's happening September the 5th at 9 p.m. It's the Back to Drag School Special, hosted by Imperial Prince Jimmy Carper. Come on. Comment inserted here.
So in other words, you'll be playing music that absolutely nobody there was going to know what in the world it is.
On the contrary. And Crown Prince Royal Craig Farrell. And eventually Imperial Princess Judy Reeves. Eventually, because Judy Reeves is currently directing a play at Theater Suburbia. And so she will join the show in process. It's the jukebox show at Mary's Naturally. And it's featuring some of Eartha Kitt's favorite songs as we remember her on the day Tony was born 40 years ago. 50 years ago. Yes.
Do I hear 60?
No. will in January. Don't bother with your music. We have it. It is a jukebox show after all. Just come on out and have some fun with the ICOH gang. Yes. And let's see, I have one more thing, because on Friday, September the 7th, there's going to be a very special show at the BRB, starting at 7:30 for food, and 8 o'clock the show begins. It's the 25th anniversary of, just take a wild guess.
I don't know.
It's the 25th anniversary of Jackie Evelyn Thorne. Jackie Evelyn Thorne was born 25 years ago.
Wow.
Jack Adams was born about 157 years ago. This is a direct benefit for the PWA Holiday Charities. So, I mean, this is pretty exciting news. And did you have anything else?
I guess. I don't know. Are we allowed to talk about opposing theater organizations?
That's Joe Watts.
Oh, she's giving me permission. I have permission from on high here.
Okay, you got 30 seconds.
Yeah. Auditions for Joe's Fairy Tales, written by Joe Watts, will be occurring at Open House at the Loft on Sunday, September 16th from 2 to 6 p.m. In an effort to create an artist playground, actors, playwrights, visual artists, and film students are encouraged to attend. There will be there are several plays there. For more information, schedule an audition, or questions about the Loft for reservations, call 713-522-2204. I didn't get a chance to read all that ahead of time. So, by the way, the Loft is located at 436 Hawthorne, number 2.
Mm-hmm.
I killed your mic when you ran away. Yes. Montrose Counseling Center encourages you to support our friends at the Bayou City Performing Arts and Susan G. Coleman for the Cure Houston in honor of Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
You bet.
The Bayou City Performing Arts is proud to present you Sing for a Cure, a benefit concert of hope. I should have kept your mic killed. Sing for a Cure is more than a benefit concert. Come join with us as we share through music 8 women's experiences with breast cancer and help raise funds for a cure. Combining chorus, soloist, orchestra, and powerful narration, Sing for the Cure will send your spirit soaring. Seating is $150 or $30.
Damn.
At Jones Hall on Tuesday, October 23rd, starting at 7:30 p.m. To purchase tickets or for more information, call 713-521-7464 or go to BayouCityPerformingArts.org.
That better be some damn good singing.
Well, what it is, it's at Jones Hall, so it's Tier 1 seats, which I guess is right down up front.
Am I on?
Yeah, you're on.
Oh, okay.
Well, your microphone is on. I'm not going to say if you're on.
Thank you.
Tier 1 seats is $100. Uh-huh. Tier 2 seats is $50. And nosebleed is $30.
Okay, great. Okay,
all, folks.
We're running really late, aren't we?
Gee, what a surprise.
Yeah, I know. Judy Reeves is here.
Doing her wonderful bobblehead impersonation.
Is my mic on?
Yes, it is now.
Well, see, you're supposed to tell me these things. I didn't know my mic was on earlier. But that's okay.
Well, you'd think when you would hear it back in your head.
No, I don't. Actually, for some reason, I'm not hearing me back. But that's okay.
You're the luckiest one in the room.
Thank you, Chris.
I complain to him about that all the time.
I still love you, Chris, in spite of yourself. Hello, you're unplugging and plugging and playing and everything. That's okay. We're still plugged. Are you still plugged?
No, well.
Sanity's still plugged. That's okay.
Why don't I just do that?
Why don't you just do this? Use the cheap things.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hello. How you doing?
So, we got 5 minutes of GCAM and 10 minutes of exciting stuff. Does that work?
Well, we have an exciting show going on with GCAM, and they're tired of me telling them about it, so I thought I'd bring in the head honcho.
Who?
From GCAM to talk about it.
Oh, the head honcho for GCAM. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That thing on the 22nd?
Yeah, that thing.
I'm so excited about that. Yes, that's going to be wonderful. And actually, I have a friend here, Vanity's, with me tonight.
I see.
And we're going to talk about, you know, Vanity's part in the show on the 22nd.
Because we're going to blame it on her.
Yeah. And then we're going to... Absolutely. There you go. And then we're going to talk about something Vanity's doing also on the 22nd, unfortunately. But we're going to get this worked out.
Unfortunately?
Well, we're both on the same day.
Oh.
Yeah. So we both can't do
here.
Both things. Yeah. Damn. So it's going to be really hard.
Okay.
But we are having the Opening Eartha's Closet Door Show on September 22nd on the patio at Mary's. And we're going to be having all kinds of little snacky foods. I have no idea what, but the Cult 45s and ICOH are going to be bringing some food for people to snack on.
And the Big
Men's
Club.
And the Big Men's Club and Chris are bringing the
Southern Comfortable Brownies.
Yes. I'm going to love watching other people eat them, Chris. That'll
Whenever I have announced that to a big crowd, you know, at a show or something, I always get the,
yes.
What makes that brownie?
Southern Comfort.
How much?
No idea.
Evidently enough for people to go, ooh.
Let's just put it this way. The recipe calls for each batch I make for a quarter cup of water. I don't use water.
Ooh. That's more like an ah.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
So it's a double batch.
I'm trying to steal you one.
It's a double batch of what I make.
Ooh.
And so there's a quarter cup of Southern Comfort that mixes into a whole panful.
Okay. Wow. We could all just kind of flop over in our chairs just thinking about that recipe.
Yes. So. And you can have them for free.
Yeah, well, yeah, I could have them for free, but we won't tell you what I'll do with them.
I do make virgin ones as well.
Do you, dear?
Yes.
Oh, I do love you then. Okay, well, and we're also going to have the Houston Area Bears, cross your fingers, on the patio. They're supposed to be opening the back bar for us, so nobody has to go very far for drinks.
That's nice.
And Bob Boughton and Eva Storm, fresh out of Chicago, are going to be our MCs, and Poppy's going to be our DJ for the afternoon.
DJ Poppy.
Yes, yes. Easy to look at, and he'll be right out there with all of his equipment, so you can see him. He won't be hiding somewhere in some dark booth.
Like he is at EJ's.
I'm sorry?
His equipment will be in the open?
His electronic equipment that he carries for music purposes.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that's right. We were talking Mary.
I always try to,
On this show, you have to be very specific.
Yes. But this is actually the introduction to the Earthquake Tony Wadford Queen Kong Perpetual Closet for Desperate Drag Queens.
Yes.
And I get to report this evening that we have our very first customer.
Oh.
Yes. Demita Joe is going to be wearing one of our fabulous outfits.
No kidding.
I believe she's going to be wearing the Ain't No Mountain High Enough dress.
Ain't No Mountain High Enough cocktail dress?
That's the one, darling.
I heard about that dress.
And I know. It's so fabulous. It'll be in my car as of tomorrow.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
And one of Vanity's glorious creations, the kind of a champagne blonde one that's about this big, yes. So she'll be wearing that for enjoyment. So that's
see,
our very first
know,
customer.
Demita decided a few months ago that she was going to retire and got rid of all her drag. Isn't she sorry now?
Well, that's the way it goes. And Vanity is, and it's going to be a very exciting show.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have some costumes there that are vintage costumes that are not going to be for the closet. But we will also have a small rack of clothes there for people to kind of peruse and see what kind of things we do have to loan out to people. We'll have some shoes and makeup. I mean, shoes and jewelry and such. And that's all on September 22nd, Saturday evening.
Yes.
Starts promptly at 6 because we will end at 8 because there's another show later on that evening, plus Vanity show is going on that evening. And I also have to just real quick have to run in and say, the reason I sound so hoarse is because I screamed too loud last night at Mary's when ICOH did a fundraiser for GCAM where we raised $380. And we were very excited and very grateful to ICOH for that.
That's wonderful.
So it was really exciting and a rousing closing number.
Indeed.
indeed it was.
That's why I sound so hoarse tonight. But anyway, Vanity is here with me tonight. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. We only have a few minutes, but Vanity's going to tell us about what she's doing on September 22nd. And Vanity, by the way, I have a baker's dozen of magnificent wigs in my living room and dining room and bedroom and kitchen. Anyway.
As a matter of fact,
that
yes.
That Vanity has fixed for us for this purpose.
For the closet.
She volunteered her time to do this, and the closet is full of gorgeous hair now.
I miss those girls. I just love staring at them. A lot of my customers were coming in and wanting to buy them, and I'm like, oh, no, not this one. Yes.
They were lined up all over your floor?
I lined up all over my floor, and I would come in. It was like a little drag audience. I absolutely loved it.
Well, honey, we can bring them back again someday.
Absolutely. What I'm doing.
What are you doing?
So, the 22nd of September, I am having a Miss Transgender Houston 2007 pageant, and I'm very excited about this.
So am I.
Because it is the first of its kind, and the reason it makes it the first of its kind is because it's not for professionals. It's for transgender women, cross-dressers, and transsexuals, but not for professional performers. And, you know, I love the professional performers.
Oh, they're fabulous.
But there needs to be something for non-professionals.
Absolutely. So
yes.
It's got, you know, it's not going to have the, it'll have the glamour, but it's not going to have all the glitz that the,
yes,
that our lovely drag queens do. But,
yes.
As a matter of fact, I just had a pageant workshop at the, at my transformation studio.
Really?
And it went really well. I had a lot of the girls there, the contestants, and we discussed the pageant. And what we're going to do is, it's going to be a lot like the regular, Miss America pageant, minus all the bitchy cat fights and backstage drama.
Oh, there goes all the fun.
Oh, but that's
So what I'm trying to do is make it not so much based on beauty, which is so hard.
Right.
You know? It's not a beauty pageant. I really want to let the ladies' personality shine through. And I know that sounds really cliche.
No, that, and I think it sounds wonderful.
But that is just really, really important because I don't want these girls to be judged, but to be scored as far as how far they've come and how well they can handle the situations and everything. So we're really, really excited. And it's the 22nd of September at 8 o'clock, and we're going to have other performances as well. It's going to be a buffet. The evening is going to be formal, and I'm selling the tickets at my transformation studio at Yale Street, or you can visit www.vanitytransformations.com. And
where on Yale Street is your store?
Yale Street, oh. Mm-hmm. Thank you. 1442 Yale Street.
Okay.
And,
now it's that house that's kind of
set back.
Set back.
It's set back.
Going out at Yale, it's on the right hand side.
Yes. We did that for
set
a purpose.
Back, yes.
A lot of my clients require a lot of discretion, and so, you know, we couldn't be, you know, in a strip center or in the mall or anything like
sure.
that.
Sure.
So,
it's such a fabulous place. I could just go sit. Just go sit.
You walked in that door, it's another world.
And Jimmy.
Elegant.
I have been there recently, and I have actually seen that crown, the jewels, that's the winner of this pageant.
Oh,
is going to
really?
Get. Honey, even I would get into a pageant for
aren't
those.
They beautiful?
Oh, they are magnificent.
I was telling everybody that I'm just going to slip into the end of line as one of the contestants, last minute contestants, and just snag the crown.
I'll be right
really,
beside you.
It's really beautiful. I really love it.
Hey, a pageant that doesn't include beauty, I could do this.
Yes. Yes, we all could.
Careful there. But I'm very excited about that, and we have to coordinate calendars next year because I want to go to the second annual. I'm not going to make it too much of, if I make it at all, to the first one. But I definitely want to, you know, put that on my agenda for the future, and James, too.
Yes.
Absolutely, you know, and I'm not going to be able to go to yours, but
I know.
All my little creations will be there.
Yes,
oh, yes, they
will.
So
oh,
I'm
yes.
kind of going to be there in hair spirit.
Yes. So I have to get pictures for the catalog before they get on
the show. I have all the pictures, so I have to make sure and give them to you.
Oh, that would be fabulous.
Okay,
yes. Oh, she takes great pictures, too. I watched her do that.
Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about Vanity's place?
Oh, God. I walk in there, and it really is like walking into another world. You're right. It's kind of like you're looking for the guy with the gong and the incense and all that, but it's really not there. It just seems like it should be.
Mm-hmm.
It is absolutely elegant. You walk in the door, and you're literally greeted by this warm living room space.
Yes.
And comfortable couch and chairs and a coffee table, and I've been offered a drink, soda or something, every single time I walk in.
Mm-hmm.
They're all so wonderful. And then, oh, But to the right of that is the beautiful jewelry.
Yes.
And that's all in the case and on the walls and this magnificent portrait of vanity.
Mm-hmm.
And but the room to the right is actually where I think you do your hair and that kind of stuff.
The wig room?
Just, I love being in there. I can go in there and play if I'm, you know. And then the second room is shoes,
accessories,
etc.
Uh-huh.
And then on in the back you have the more personal items.
Mm-hmm.
And of course I kind of get hung up with the jewelry. You know, I don't do a lot of wigs. I don't wear shoes if I have to. You know. I don't wear anything other than my tennis shoes. And I certainly don't need the accessories. I have plenty of accessories to go around. But it's just a wonderful, wonderful shop.
It's a wonderful experience.
It is really worth going. I could just go in and sit all day.
Mm-hmm. And you need to. And
okay,
a lot of people
don't
do.
Say that.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
And I'm really excited because we are carrying FTM products as well.
Wow.
Which, you know,
really?
No other store, you know, you have the guys always have to get them online. And,
yeah.
Yes, we're carrying FTM products, which is a really great addition to our boutique, which
wow.
I'm excited about.
And Vanity's a great addition to my friend list.
Yes.
Thank you. And the name Vanity, I have to say, sometimes it is an oxymoron, so don't don't take it too seriously. Not even with the t-shirt I'm wearing.
I love the shirt. Blame it on Vanity.
Yes.
I need one of those.
It's interesting that you would be here tonight because we had a transgender segment for many, many years, and it kind of fell away because we didn't have a host for it. And tonight is the start of the new transgender show.
I know. I can hardly wait to hear
it.
I'm so excited.
Yes, yes. So, I mean, this is turning out to be a transgender evening here.
It works for me.
So I have got to go back really quick on the t-shirt that I'm wearing. I'm wearing a t-shirt that says Blame It on Vanity.
Mm-hmm.
Right now it's more like because of gluttony because I'm like way over overweight. But you know, Blame It on Vanity is fine for now. I actually tried some diets. I tried anorexia, but there's just such good stuff to eat. And so that wasn't good.
Anorexia just is not an alternative.
No, that'll never work. So then I tried bulimia, but that was so 80s. So now I'm
bulimia,
like...
bulimia, you get to taste the food twice.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Ice cream
is
terrible.
Yeah, but not hot the second time.
So now I'm just doing Atkins, and I'm just taking large shakes, and I'm sucking pig fat, and
I'm so excited here.
And as you can tell, it's working.
Yeah, I see.
Honey, even if it didn't work, you're beautiful to me.
Thank you.
But this is exciting. And I want to hear the results. I want to hear about the winner. I want to hear everything.
Absolutely. I'll definitely post that and keep everybody up to date.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming, sweetie.
You're so welcome.
And thank you all for having me. This was my first segment, too.
Yes, it was. Yes, the first She Camp segment.
The night of transgenders, a night of horse people, and so on.
And so,
thank you, Chris.
Since our 20th anniversary is coming up in 2 weeks of this show, I had some special music that I wanted to open the first revitalized transgender segment with, because it's something back from the 70s. It was the first song that made me think about transgender people. And it was a really, really big hit.
I met her in the club down in Old Soho, where you drink champagne and it tastes just like cherry cola. C-O-L-A cola. Up to me and she asked me to dance. I asked her her name and in a bathroom voice she said Lola, L-O-L-A, Lola, 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 Lola. La 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 la.
This is Melissa and Melanie with the Transgender Hour. T-Talk. How you doing, Melanie?
I've got a headache.
Well, I've been up since 7 o'clock this morning, so it should be an interesting hour or so.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been busy all day doing my own thing and all that. Fun, you know, it's just a barrel of monkeys in the world of being transgendered.
Always a new day. We got some interesting things going on for you guys tonight. We have some local events and activities for you. We also have in the studio a local transsexual musician. Her name is Evie, and we're going to be featuring some of her music.
She's apparently out in the main part of the building somewhere, and if someone could grab her and throw her in here, that would
be great. Yeah, she actually has been working for us this evening and doing some things for us and getting her music together. So she's going to be on there a little bit later. And then we've also got some topics that are relating to just transsexuals and transgendered in general. So we're going to get started right now with the politics and news and local events. Yeah. In the transgender news segment, we have from the continent of Asia. There was a local conference on HIV and AIDS, and they were discussing that there is really no room for transgender people in HIV funding. They were talking about how transgendered people are not being targeted, and there's no funding for that. I think that's really awful.
And that's bad, because I know in Houston, the Houston Area Community Services, that's one of the things that they decided was an underserved population, and they've really ramped up a lot of their services they have for transgender people, and I'll be elaborating more about that in a little bit.
Yeah, actually, I know specifically in Asia, there's a lot of sex workers who are transsexuals, and, you know, they find themselves forced to work unprotected and put themselves in a lot of risky situations. And, you know, even transsexuals who are finding out that they're positive, you know, it really sucks that there's no money or services really earmarked for them. Also, we have from the land of Australia, there's a local TS in Australia who is going to be going to Phuket, Thailand, and she encountered some problems with a new law that they had passed recently restricting intended gender on her passport, and she's actually challenging the government there. It's pretty interesting. She was talking about traveling, and she's leaving the country as a male and coming back as a woman, and she has to leave with male on her passport.
And the bad thing about that is when she decides to, you know, get ready to come back and everything, then, you know, she has a passport that says male, but she has no proof at all that she ever was, because, like, even if they do a strip search, well, guess what?
Well, actually, and that's one of the points that she brought up. She said, you know, coming back into the country, she's actually subject to that, because according to her passport, she's male, and she's obviously female. You know, that's something that most of us girls face a lot of times with our documentation, birth certificates, driver's license, all of that stuff. And we'll be talking more about that in my topic coming out in the workplace. And actually a local case, Izzy versus River Oaks. That's something that a lot of us face on a day-to-day basis. So how do you think? We have with us Evie. She is our featured musician for this evening. What do you think about that, Evie?
What do I think about coming out in the workplace?
No. What do you think about the Australian lady and her not being able to get female on her passport?
Honestly, I really don't understand the problem all that much. I know that it's probably mostly uncomfortable, but I don't know exactly.
Yeah. Well, I know that's always been something that I've been worried about. I've never traveled to Europe or even got a passport. It scares me to death getting trapped in some third world country and then finding out that, you know, that's something that is obviously different than what I appear to be. you know, and I'm sure that there are others that are in my position.
Yeah, I know it's common in the U.S. when they're going overseas to get their surgery and everything. Like some of them are able to get like it's sort of like a provisional or temporary passport with their intended gender on that, and they're able to like travel with that, and then when they come back with I'm not sure the exact requirements by the law, but I think they have to have like a letter stating that they've had the surgery and everything, and then they can get a permanent passport.
Well, and I think that's what they said. You know, the law specifically restricts intended gender, and I definitely think that's something that's unfair, but I know that she is challenging that. So hopefully we'll keep you updated, and we can give you some good news from the land down under. Here locally in the U.S., moving on, we have from Suffolk, here in the U.S., a transsexual. They actually had her listed as a male, but when me and Mel here, we're looking on the internet, we saw that she was actually a transsexual, and she obviously had some augmentation, so we changed that to transsexual. But she has been charged with injecting local transsexuals with silicone. She got charged with 2 counts of practicing medicine without a license, and wow, that's heavy.
Yeah, the you know, there's kind of 2 sides to that the whole controversy about the silicone, because I've heard you know, basically it's like, you know, if it's done right, I mean, the results are okay, but the thing about it is, it's like when it's unregulated like that, it's like, you know, and there's a lot of people, especially, you know, when you have, like, a lot of these, you know, really poor TSs that are, like, you know, and some of them that are forced to do, like, street, you know, work.
Street work and
stuff like that.
No educational background.
Yeah, and, you know, they can't even afford hormones or anything, and then they have somebody come up and say, hey, you know, for $50, you know, I'll use silicone on you and everything. And one of the dangers they had, I don't have the information on me. I do remember there's a case here in Houston a few years ago of there was a lady that was doing that for some of the local street workers, that, and she was
using motor oil, didn't she?
Yeah, she was using like motor
oil. Actually, I think that was a couple from Mexico. I remember seeing that case. They were charged, and they had actually killed someone locally using motor oil.
Yeah, they use some motor oil or brake fluid or who knows what else. I mean, the only thing about that is, yeah, you have no idea really what they're using.
Yeah.
So, I mean, well, that it's really, you're taking your life in your hands, because, I mean, you know, you have no idea what in the world they're doing with that. And that's one of the things about the basic, really, a lack of a lot of social services for, you know, especially the poor transsexuals and stuff that don't have access to medical insurance and things like that.
Well, yeah. I have some personal knowledge on that.
Okay,
I've had a little
I'll
bit of augmentation. And actually, for those of you who want more information on TS Roadmap, if you have the internet, you can look up TS Roadmap. It actually talks about that, silicone injections, and some more information on just transgender issues in general. It's basically a guide, everything from transitioning when you're young to silicone injections, where to get wigs, all that great stuff. But, you know, I've had augmentation silicone injections in my face, and it was a pretty interesting experience. And I would have to say that I did some things when I was younger that I wouldn't necessarily do as I got older, and I think that a lot of those individuals do take advantage of people who don't have information. So I definitely urge everyone to educate yourselves, and, you know, knowledge is power, and looking back, you know, I can't really change things. I haven't had any problems, thank God, but, you know, I mean, it's definitely something that I would have done differently, you know, if I had more information. So check that site out, TS Roadmap. I believe it's .com.
Yes, TSRoadmap.com, if I remember right. If not, I don't think it's .org. I think it is .com.
Yeah, TSRoadmap.com. It's got all kinds of information for you.
And also, just while we're mentioning websites, there's a local website,
TransHouston.com.
It's got a lot of that information, and also links to a lot of the social services that are available here in Houston. And Houston really is pretty fortunate of what we do have. And, you know, unfortunately, it's not fantastic, you know, but it's a lot better than it was 10 years ago.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Mel.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ton of information on TransHouston. There's chats. There's information on resources in the community, doctors, electrolysis, a little bit of everything. So check that out. You can log in and get your user ID and get all kinds of information. Actually, I got the TJ News from there, so you can get up-to-date news relating to transgender issues on that site. Also, here in TG News for Planet Out, it was released, there is a sex change, tax deduction that is going on and actually being debated in court. Have you heard about that, Mel?
You had some of your notes I was reading when we were in Navy Studio earlier, and I didn't get a chance to read the entire article, but I know they they said the existing law was that they classed
transgenderism as a
they classed the
cosmetic surgery.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And basically saying that it was elective, it was not a medically necessary procedure, so they didn't want to give that as a something you could write off in your taxes as a medical expense.
Well, I have it here before me, and actually the young lady, Mrs. Donahan, is suing the IRS to get the deduction accepted, and it's a precedent-setting case if she gets ruled in her favor that would affect all of us, basically.
Yeah.
She spent $25,000 on her gender reassignment surgery, and she was not allowed to deduct it on her taxes.
Yeah, $25,000, I mean, that they're equivaling that to spending $25,000 going to Disneyland or buying a gigantic, television or something like that. And it's something like that is a luxury. But, for a lot of transsexuals, it's the surgery is really something that, they feel like they need to have in order to, just be okay in their own skin. I mean, I know. There's a lot
we've all been through that.
Yeah.
We can speak from personal experience.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Evie?
I think that it would be elective if we changed the rest of everybody in the world. Otherwise,
yeah.
It's not elective.
Well, we have a quote here from Miss Donahan. She's 63 years old, and she said her case is more than just about money. She said, and I quote, "I hope this case sends a clear message that transgendered people deserve dignity, respect, and equal treatment, not just for our medical care, but in all aspects of our lives, just as every human being deserves dignity, respect, and equal treatment." She made that quote outside of the court. And actually, we will keep you updated next month, but they have rested their case Thursday before tax court judge, and he or she will be deciding the outcome of that. We will keep you posted. We are coming up to the top of the hour, and I don't know, were you going to be doing that? Or
if you want to go ahead and do it,
we can do this.
All right, it's KPFT 90.1 Houston, Queer After Hours with Attitude.
He's shaking his head. You goofed it up. Let the experts speak. Go for it.
Okay.
Chris.
Well, this is our first time, so we're going to defer. I digress.
You have you put the 90.1 in the middle.
KPFT 90.1.
KPFT Houston.
KPFT Houston.
Or if you want to go to the whole blue one, the whole
give
thing.
Give us the spiel.
You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Yes.
See, that's why you keep us around.
And legal ID is the call letters and the city.
The call letters and the city. KPFT Houston.
That's it.
All right.
All right. We'll have to get the cue cards and everything for that. This is the first show where we end up, doing up our script on notebook paper about half an hour before we got here or something.
That's okay. We are rocking it. And we are going to go now.
This is more than what I usually get from
that this. That is
hey,
right.
We have notes. It's like
we are rocking the
transsexual
transgender radio hour.
Yeah, we're a lot better than the transgender show that was last month.
Yeah,
No.
There wasn't one, was
that's
there?
So, right.
That's right.
Well, we are going to go now to the song that we are debuting on this show right now. The song of that, the title of that song is Don't Say Never, and that is actually an original song by Miss Evie. Can you play that, Mr. DJ? Put that record on. Thank you so much, Miss Evie, for that fabulous rendition of your artistic expression. Yeah. That was great.
What was the title of that song again?
It was called Don't Say Never, Girl, in parentheses, if you want.
That is a love song.
That was a love song.
She told us earlier that that is a love song. So
we were, like, dancing in the studio, and it started up here.
Oh, yeah. So, Miss Evie is going to be hopefully doing more work with us in Tea Talk, so she's going to be helping us put some things together. She was actually working really hard earlier, as Melanie so eloquently put it, a half hour before the show. Actually, it was 2 hours before the show. But
well, I don't know. I had a headache, so like time dilates for me. I was like,
oh. Yeah. Poor Mel.
Yeah, well, thank you for, like, the big fistful of, like, Advil you gave me.
Oh, you are so welcome.
Yeah, so it's like my head, you know.
Thank you for clarifying that fistful was Advil.
Yeah. Oh, no, we keep it clean.
You know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they're used to having a fistful of something around here.
Oh, my God.
Or well, full of a fist. I'm not sure how that exactly works.
This is Eminem with T-Talk. We are... Tea Talk. No, this is not English tea, Earl Grey. This is Transgendered Talk Hour on Queer After Hours with Attitude.
Yeah. And After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude.
This is
we're going to get that script
Mel,
for next week.
That's right. This is Mel and Missy.
Yeah. M&M.
Melt
in your mouth, not in your hands.
Oh, my God. She said it.
Yeah.
We're going to talk now with Miss Melanie. And basically what we're going to be doing is we're each going to have some time to talk about issues in the community. So we're going to turn it over to Mel.
Okay. Well, one of the things we touched on earlier was that the Houston area community services had started some transgender services a few years ago. And one of the things that they had actually down here in Montrose was a transgender drop-in center that they use for, you know, if you... for like a lot of the transgenders that were homeless that could come in, and they had other services. They had HIV prevention and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, the government had cut a bunch of grants and funds and things. That's, you know, as a nonprofit, they get a lot of their funding through things like that, not direct donations, but like government grants or other things. And they basically run out of funding for the HAC Center.
It's Houston Area Community Services Center.
Yeah, and I mean the whole organization is not shutting down, but that one the center they had here in Montrose is shutting down this month, and that used to house like several transgendered groups that they had socials and also those sort of meetings, it's like they've had, like the STAG and the TATS meetings, those have went back over to the GLBT Community Center where they were before. But, the important thing is they've lost a lot of the...
Those groups.
Well, the TATS is the Texas Association for Transsexual Support.
Mm-hmm.
That was a group that started quite a long time ago. Because
weren't you the president of it?
I was the president of it for a year, and that was they had sort of a changeover with the group, and it almost cratered, but I really had to work hard to kind of get everything together and rebuild the officers and all that. And because at one time there wasn't any social services or anything. There was no groups like HACs that came in and helped out the community. Because I mean, their primary focus is HIV prevention for like minority women and other women, youth, and what they call other underserved communities. Which they decided the transgender community was definitely an underserved community. There's not very many social services out there.
Most definitely.
And TATS was started like a long time ago, specifically for transsexual support, and because back then that was before the internet and everything, and
mm-hmm.
people really didn't know where to go. They didn't know where to get information, and they had to go to.
And that's actually a pretty large group, isn't it?
At one time, I mean, I'm not sure what the total numbers are. A lot of the membership was out of town. They got their information through the mail. With newsletters and things like that. They would pay for a membership just to get the newsletter. And now it's sort of, the group has evolved over the years because of things like the internet and all the websites and things like TS Redmap that pretty much anybody with a computer can get access to. Used to, actually, I was going through some paperwork and I actually found an old, it was sort of a resource guide for TATS, and it had, a bunch of like local doctors that were knowledgeable about transgender things, places to go, to get hormones and electrolysis and all the other services that are needed for transition, even places just to go and shop for clothes that wouldn't turn you away because you were transgendered.
God, and, I love that.
Things have
I'm such a shopaholic.
things have definitely changed over the years.
Thank God.
Yeah, and there's also, like I mentioned, the STAG group. That stands for Some Transgenders Are Guys, which...
Yeah.
The
boys.
The female-to-male transsexual group.
We need to get some of the guys on here.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things I was wanting to do later on, is we can get some of the trans guys in here, because that's sort of an invisible population in the trans community. I mean, they've had... even if you think of the movies and stuff, like they have the latest one was like Trans America, which I finally seen at your prompting.
it was a very good movie.
But they have all those. But so far, I've only seen one movie, which is Boys Don't Cry. And that was like pretty much the only movie that's been produced about a female to male transsexual. Aside from a fictional character on the L Word that was female to male, that was mainly in the primarily in the third season, they introduced that character named Max, if I remember right.
Yeah.
And
he was cute. I loved his hair. Yeah. I'm a hairdresser, so
yeah. So it's like, I'm not, so I'm just kind of like, well, he had hair, he wasn't bald, so that's
yeah. Cute. He was cute, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Max was rocket.
I don't know.
You don't think Max was cute?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess you're
Yeah, well, lesbian, I'm sitting here with my dog tag that says Butch on it. My combat boots and everything.
Combat boots. What did you call those pants?
These are military BDUs, battle dress uniform pants. They're like the pants that the SWAT team wear.
But she is not a transgender guy. She is definitely a transgender gal.
Yeah, I'm just like as Butch
just
as I can
butch.
Get. Yeah.
Butch lesbian, transsexual.
Yeah, that's
woman.
That's
transsexual woman. Very important to put that in.
Woman, yeah. Because but we're kind of digressing on that.
No, I know. So there's STAG, there's TATS.
There's
Thursday social media.
Yeah, that was, if
really
I remember right, that was originally, it was called something like Transgender Life Connection or something like that, or Houston Transgender Life Connection. I think it was HTLC. And that was basically just started as a group because there was so many meetings that were concerned with emotional support and things like that, because, when you're dealing with a big transition like that, coming out and dealing with all the stuff and all the legal things and the medical stuff and everything, there's a lot of stuff that you have to work through. Basically, essentially it's group therapy and group support and things, and just to keep from getting too serious, because if you take all this stuff really seriously, it'll drive you nuts.
Yeah.
And, makes all the therapists rich, but
God knows the transsexuals are probably crazy enough.
Yeah, but the social groups were good to get together and just hang out and meet and talk about things other than how stressed out you are because you can't get your hormones or this or that. We can do things like eat your wonderful cooking. Or
wasn't that actually where we first met at the social?
Actually was, yeah.
Wow, yeah.
And I don't remember exactly how long ago that was.
About a month ago.
Yeah, that was
maybe 2 months ago.
Yeah, it was. Well, you had the accident. You were experimenting with pyrotechnics.
Oh gosh, don't bring that up.
But
it was a pretty cool event, and that's one of the biggest things I'm really sad about is the social, because I've only been to one TATS meeting, but because I usually work on Saturdays. But the social was something that was really cool. We would sit around. There would be the F2M guys, and I know that there was Chris. He brought his kids with Lisa, and
Chris
played video games.
Yeah.
And
speaking of Chris, for those that want to look up a really good site for female to males, Chris's site, I believe, is Transitioning Mail. Is it transitioningmail.com? I'm not sure.
You know,
something like that.
I don't know right off the top of my head, but we will get back with you next month on that.
We'll have to Google it or talk to Chris or something like that. We needed to. We need to get our website list together
guys.
And things. But there's actually, I think there's a link. If you go to transhouston.com, there's probably a link on there somewhere for it.
Well, I know he's actually featured on the front page. Story about top surgery and his personal experience.
So you could probably find a link through there somehow. But
I know he was there. We used to play video games and we would pitch in. I loved cooking for everybody. That was really awesome. And
you're a very good cook.
No more Pigeons.
Well, they have
closing.
Yeah. Well, actually, we're still keeping the social meetings. Or they're just they're not able to house them at the building because they're not the HACS is not going to have it anymore. They're searching for new locations now. So, because that is an important thing to have some kind of social activity where you can hang out with other transsexuals and transgender people and in a less like serious mode and just to talk about things and be social, and because that's an important thing with the transition process. It's more than just surgery and hormones and new clothes and things like that. When you're used to, if you spend 20, 30 years as one gender, and even though inside you're a different gender, you still have all these coping mechanisms and all these other things that you have learned to basically pretend to be the sex that your body was, so you could get along in society without getting beat up as a we're being waved at by one of our fans.
Bye, there. Cutie. See you later.
Yeah,
one of the guys that hangs around, and he's really awesome.
Yeah, they are.
Do you love transsexuals, transgendered folks?
What would the world be without transgender
That's
people?
That's right.
It would be very boring, I think.
Very boring.
The spice and things.
And all the electrologists would go out of business.
Well, I don't know. There's the metrosexuals out there, but I think my electrologist said that most guys are wussies, to be polite and not vulgar.
Yeah, make it interesting for me. I'm going right to my car, jumping in, turning on the radio.
All right. Well, we're moving on to TG announcements. Melanie was talking about the social events that are going on. The Thursday meetings are going to be continuing on, and you can go to www.transhouston.com.
There's a lot of
you can find all this info on transhouston.com, by the way. They also have the HGTA meetings, which are Monday meetings.
HTGA is Houston. It's Helping Transgender Anonymous. Those
HTGA?
Are ones.
HTGA?
Yeah, those. Actually, that's another group that's being overseen by the HACS organization, and that is sort
but
of
no drop-in center.
Yeah, no drop-in center. The we'll go kind of backtracking a little bit on that. It's like there's talking about the social services in general. There's been sort of an ebb and flow on a lot of that. A while back, if people listened to the show a few years ago when it was on, there was a group in town called CATS, Community Awareness for Transsexual or Transgender Support. And for a while, they actually operated a homeless shelter in Galveston specifically for transgender individuals. Because pretty much no homeless shelters. Yeah, there's no homeless shelters in towns. Well, if they do accept a transgender person, if they're like male going from male to female, they have to go there and live as a guy at the center,
which
they have to
is
live.
Not yeah. cool.
Which I mean, can you imagine you having to go in and
socially
pretend to be a guy?
Well, I did it. I transitioned young, and I remember one day everybody kept telling me, "Oh, be a boy, you're so young." And I did it one day. It was horrible. So I can't imagine having to do that to survive and have a roof over your head.
Yeah, so they started that up, and the main problem with that was funding, and that's been the problem for a lot of things. There's a new group starting up in Houston, where actually you and I are going to be some of the beginning members. It's a Houston Transgender Fund Association, which that's still in the works right now. We've had like one meeting where we've basically drafted together the articles
of
incorporation, bylaws and things, but that's going to be a fundraising organization to try to support a lot of these local transgender groups and help them get money they need for programs and things like that.
And if you're interested in that, you can find a link in the forums for www.transhouston.com. It's in the forums if you're interested. All you really have to do is show up at the meetings that will be announced.
Because a lot of stuff. Now one thing
we
is
did
like
a garage sale. That was awesome.
Yeah, we've doing garage sales and some other things like that. One of the things is like I'm not sure. What are you pointing to here?
I'm pointing to the script, dear.
Oh yeah. Well, I never go by that kind of stuff.
Are you a fly by the pants gal?
Yeah, I'm just winging it tonight.
Just
yeah.
winging it.
I'm just wigging out one of the two.
Well, there goes all that hard work.
Yeah. Melton. Well, anyway, are you trying to shut me up? Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
No, go ahead. Tell us what's on your mind.
Okay. Oh, well, I could tell you what's on my mind. But
well, just mention some of these events that are coming up too. We've got the teaching announcements. We're going to let Mel do the announcements.
Oh, man.
Quick, we've got the upcoming classes and roundtables at the GLBT Center, your GLBT Center, September 15th. That's sexuality. Yeah. Have you been to one of those, Melanie?
They had a couple of class. Yeah, I mean, a lot of these, you know, as far as like our listening audience, it would be interesting to find out like what the percentage of people listening to this actually are transgendered and what people, you know, are not. And the thing of it is, one of the things that doing this is there's a lot of people out there that don't have the first clue on what being transgender is even about. I mean, they see stuff on television and things like that. And like I remember
Rebecca Ramon Stamos. Yeah. She is not a post-op transsexual. She doesn't look like one.
Yeah, but I mean, there's like things like what, you know,
it's from the news.
Yeah, I mean, I remember way back when, like Flip Wilson and Milton Berle were the
drag.
They say a lot of the drag queens of things. There's a lot more.
Don't forget Some Like It Hot.
Oh yeah, all the old stuff. It's like they're getting more like honest portrayals in the media and things like that. But there's still a lot of people that don't really have a clue of what's going on with a lot of these things.
Well, tell us, Melanie, what is the definition? I know you have some background.
Well,
not a professional opinion, but yeah. I know that transsexuals and transgender people in general feel like even though they were born one sex, that they are really the opposite sex to some degree or another. And
because a lot of people, there's what they call, there's a transgender, what is sort of an umbrella term. It can mean a lot of different things. If you break it down into different
types. Break it down for me.
I'll break it down.
Break it down.
Ow. Yeah, we'll get that. We need Evie out there with
the turntable.
Yeah, the turntable. But, you have a lot of people, when they think of transgenders or whatever. They think of cross-dressers, transsexuals, and which some people just think that, a transsexual is just a cross-dresser that decides to do it all the time. And it's interesting, in the community, it's kind of like apples and oranges. I mean, if you know what an apple is, you know what an orange is, you're not going to mistake them. But to somebody that doesn't have any clue, they're all a bunch of fruits.
And, are you calling me a fruit, Mel? Me a fruit.
I think you're probably high in vitamin C.
No, that
and
would be
you've
Red
got
Bull,
a nice set
actually.
Of melons there.
That's sexual harassment. I don't know if we can do that on the air. And my girlfriend may be listening. She's kind of big, so better be careful.
Oh, well.
I think she can take you.
Oh, yeah. She can take me anywhere. She's there.
That's right. She's listening, so.
Yeah, baby.
So back to the apples and oranges.
Yeah.
And
well, the thing is, it's like, you have the cross-dressers who are generally, those are men, but they
usually, but not always straight.
Yeah. Yeah, most of the time straight, and they just enjoy, there's like kind of a distinction there. There's the old term transvestite, which,
oh god, I hate that word.
It always sounds so derogatory. And now it's actually a lot of times when they a lot of times when they refer to a transvestite, it's more of like what would be called a fetishistic transvestite, where they dress up in the clothes to get some kind of sexual kick.
I think of an English term, tranny.
Yeah, tranny. That's kind of a nickname. And when you have that, well, there's also tranny. It's like, what's under your car? It's the tranny. It's a four-speed or whatever. But
you are butch.
Yeah.
If you know about transmissions.
Yeah, transmissions.
Let me see your nails.
Huh?
Yeah, she's butch.
Yeah. Hey, they've grown a little bit.
We need to get you a manicure.
Yeah.
We'll do that.
All right.
We'll get your hair cut.
You cut my hair. Do my nails, all that stuff.
We're going to be having beauty segments later on.
Oh, yeah.
So we got the transvestites or cross-dressers.
Yeah, we have...
transsexuals.
Yeah, the cross-dressers generally are... most of those, it's like they have like a significant sort of feminine makeup to their personality. At least, a lot of them... described as expressing their feminine side, but they don't identify as female. They identify as male.
So when you say CD, you're not talking about the big shiny thing that we put in the box to make the music go.
I don't know what you're putting in the box, but it's like when they, crossdresser CD is like the initials for that. But then you have a transsexual, which actually is someone who has a mismatch between the way their brain is wired as one gender and the body they're actually born in. And so it's like it's really hard to change the brain without like destroying it and zapping it all to heck with like drugs and electric shock and everything and turning it into a vegetable. So
and all those things in between.
Yeah. So if you can't if you can't change the mind, you have to change the body. And that's a lot of stuff there. And then you have and then you have like the male to females, female to males, and like I said, the female to males are
I think it's a range that really it covers pretty much anything on a spectrum. Gender queer is something, any kind of androgynous or, so if you have any questions, call us and we'll answer your questions about what transgender
is. Now they're going to be ringing the phones off the hook, and Jimmy's out there.
All right.
Jimmy's out there giving us the evil eye or something.
If you are a transsexual or transgender person, please come to the September 15th sexuality class at the GLBT Center. It is from 3 to 5, and it is closed only to transgendered folks. So that's something that they're doing, I believe, September, October. Yeah, it's a monthly thing other than in November.
Yeah, I don't I don't remember the exact address, but Houston GLBT Community Center.org, I believe, is the website.
Hawthorne and Montrose,
yeah,
it's
Montrose and Hawthorne. It's in the building of the Sky Bar.
And there's free parking. Just tell them that you're in the GLBT community. Don't worry, they won't look at you funny, and you can park for free. Also, we have coming up the in October 13th, the F2M Roadmap from 3 to 5, and that is for female to male transsexuals. Those stag guys are going to be putting that on, and it's for female to males and significant others. Do you want to talk about the annual day of remembrance, Melanie, coming up? Announcements?
Let's see. I can mention it anyway. Actually, Kristen Williams is the local person that
I spoke with Kristen earlier.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Did she get you any good information?
Well, she told me that it was going to be at the Holocaust Museum here in Houston.
Yeah, that's where it was last year. Actually, the last couple of years.
Yeah, they're donating that space for us, and we're looking for sponsors. So if you're interested in sponsoring that, just contact TransHouston.com and send Kristen an email letting her know that you are willing to sponsor that in any way, shape, or form. It's November 17th, which is a Saturday. The time will be announced, but if you go to TransHouston.com, you can stay updated on that and a lot of other transgender issues.
Yeah, we should have like them sponsor this show. So I think we've mentioned the website like 100 times so far.
That's
but
okay.
There,
it's a great
sort of
resource, and I go there daily.
Yeah,
you know?
Actually, as we mentioned, we have a
phone call. All right, put that caller through.
Interesting.
Caller, you are on the air.
When?
Five. You are on the air, caller.
Now.
Hello.
I actually did the transgender show. How long ago was that, Jimmy?
Excuse me?
How long ago did I do the transgender segment?
Oh, gosh.
Who are we speaking to, caller? Can you tell us your name?
I'm Firewolf.
Firewolf. Hello, yes. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay.
Great. Are you enjoying the show?
Yeah, I'm glad they finally got another show going.
Yeah.
We had, I think actually Kristen Williams was the last host we had. I don't know how long she did it for. Before that was
Vanessa.
Oh, Vanessa. How long did Beth do? Beth took over after Vanessa, didn't she, Beth Richard?
Yes.
Do any of y'all know, I know you know her, Jimmy, but do either of you two know Rose Wall?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I was actually,
I go to church
son.
With her.
I know you. I know who this is.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah, well, you know that I know Rose.
You know
Rose,
what transsexuals, transgender folks are.
Of course.
Yeah, I know Rose. No, I was a roommate.
I have a big announcement.
You do.
Go ahead. Announce it as long as it's not vulgar.
Well, at least I hope it's not vulgar. I mean, at least not in our circles, anyways.
It isn't.
What's going on?
I'm actually going to be doing the transition myself.
Well, congratulations.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, well, I know a little bit of your background, and I knew that there was a you had sort of entertained that possibility a few years ago.
Well, it was a little bit more than entertained. It was more like checking to see if it's something I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been thinking about it a lot recently, and I've had a lot of time to work through it in my mind, and I've decided to go for it.
Well, I hope everything works out for you. And of course, if you need any advice or anything, well, you can always
ask
talk
Rose.
To Tom.
Mom, Rose.
Yeah, who's that?
Yeah, she's great. I love her. We were actually at Pride last month, and we were raising money for the scholarship.
Actually, that's been like two months ago.
Oh, duh.
Yeah, she was telling me about that. I couldn't make it. I had to work.
Yeah. You can find pictures of that on TransHouston.com, www.TransHouston.com.
Yeah, I bought a bunch of those tickets from Rose.
I know. Well, they had the drawing, so I would hope that...
I didn't win.
Me either, probably.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on that, and have you started, or where are you at in the process, or you kind of just decided?
At this point, I have the problem of my work isn't exactly... the kind of place you can transition at.
Type of work do you do?
We'll be talking about that.
The easiest way to explain this is it's a biker bar / barbecue restaurant.
Oh, I love bikers.
Oh, nice. Yeah, actually, I knew somebody that was a manager at a redneck biker bar, and she was transgendered, but I don't think that was, like, widely known where she was.
Well, this is a place down here in La Porte called Hoppies.
I'm not familiar. I just moved here in October from Indiana, so...
I'll tell you what, if I ever come up there, I'll bring you guys some barbecue. How about that?
Oh, okay. Right. You know, I love barbecue.
I know it'll ruin the diet, but hey.
Is it brisket?
We have brisket.
Okay, well, I'm kind of leaning towards the vegetarian. My girlfriend's got me on the veggie stuff, but I definitely won't say no to free barbecue.
Hell no.
Yeah. And I know Jimmy probably likes barbecue.
Jimmy likes any kind of meat.
Jimmy likes barbecue.
Yes. He likes the meat.
I like the meat.
He likes the meat.
With lots of juice.
Yeah. Well,
Evie's over there cringing.
Evie's a vegetarian. Well, thank you for calling. Do you have anything else you want to say to the listeners?
This is exciting news.
Yeah.
Because you've been on the show before.
Yeah, I like I said, I did the transgender segment,
mm-hmm.
and it actually went over pretty good. I just wasn't able to do it again.
Yeah.
Well, stop by, and you know we're here every
fourth
Saturday/Sunday at 1:30.
That's my plan. Now that they have another show, I was going to come down when you guys are on.
Yeah, come down and help us out. And
yeah.
Show us what you got.
And you know,
well, that sounded really incriminating.
Well, you know, I mean,
now don't go get me in trouble or anything. Okay?
I'm not trying to get you in trouble. I mean, like, you know, come out and
there is no guarantee that my mom's not listening right now.
Well, hopefully she is. Hi, Rose, if you're listening.
Oh, she doesn't stay up.
No,
she's a good church lady.
That's right. She goes to church on Sunday.
That's right.
Yeah.
She's probably gonna.
I sober up on Sundays.
Well.
And I don't even drink, so to explain that.
Have you been to the Day of Remembrance?
No, I have not.
I know we were just talking about that. It's at the Holocaust Museum, and it's a day that they've set aside as an annual event to remember all of the transgendered folks who have been hurt or killed by violence. And
I remember hearing about that.
Yeah.
It's really moving.
Mm-hmm. It's very moving.
Yeah, that might be something that you may want to come out to.
It's something that I like to go out to it's just a very moving experience.
Yeah, they've had it, and the thing is, it's like, what was it? Was it last week or the week before that Judy Reeves had the transgender lady on that was attacked?
Yes.
And
Charlene.
I mean, you know,
Charlene.
Charlene.
Yeah.
And the thing about that is, like, you know, there was that. There was another transgender lady the same week that was mugged. And, you know, the thing is, it's like, you know, who knows, that, you know, in a little bit worse situation, one of those people would end up on the list of people that were, you know, killed during the year. And, you know, which is always, I mean, the list usually is, like, frighteningly long. Every year, there's a lot of people that are dying in violent crimes. And Jimmy is, and if Chris is out there somewhere, he knows that I was a volunteer with Q Patrol. I was a patrol leader. And Q Patrol was started after Paul Broussard got killed down here in Montrose, and there was a lot of violence and things.
Did you know, I was talking to the young lady on the phone, did you know Paul?
No, this was 1991.
That was like, I moved down here in 89. That was right after I moved down here, and it was like, wow, that, you know, and, but yeah, I used to that with Q Patrol and, thing, you know, patrolling the Montrose area and things like that. And
thank you for doing that, by the way. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was something that needed to be done. I've started volunteering with, you know, some other, you know, community groups and stuff. We also with the Guardian Angels are down here in Montrose, off and on, patrolling different, you know, they patrol over town and stuff. But you know, I'd noticed, like, I was just out this Thursday, we went to go to Blur, and I drove down Hyde Park, and it was just amazing, like the crack dealers and everything else that are out here.
Horrible.
I mean, it's the crime in Montrose has got really bad in over the last few years. That,
I've never figured out how Merlin manages to walk through that area.
He carries a big stick.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, there is that.
I've seen his stick.
Yeah.
And the walking staff he has is pretty big, too.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, hey, babe, I just wanted to let you know, too, that HACS, the Houston Area Community Services, is going to be starting in September doing TG services. It's going to actually be a TG services clinic, and they're going to be doing, on a sliding scale, hormones and doctor's visits and...
cool.
Labs at cost, so that's something that you may be interested in. The number is 713. Do you have a pin?
Oh, I'll probably be coming by the radio station later. Well, if you just leave a note with Jimmy, I can get it from him.
Yeah. Okay. Or they'll have the information on TransHouston, I'm sure.
Yeah,
also.
It's going to be really cool. And for those of you who are listening, that number is 713-426-0027. That's 713-426-0027. That's something actually Kristen has been working on, and it's just going to be a sliding scale. It's like $35 for the visit plus labs, and that's something that you could probably look into because I know it's expensive.
Yeah,
when I started.
Yeah, and in general, it's like a lot of transsexuals just due to employment. It's like sometimes it's hard to get a job, especially.
It is too expensive for me.
Well, you guys have to remember, Rose paid for everything herself.
Well, I know it's
she's put
personally.
A bill for her entire thing. She's just lucky that she's an engineer.
Yeah.
And there's some people, it's like, for me, I'm like, just speaking from personal experience, like, just lately, you know, I'd been working, and when I do work, I mean, I at least make, I mean, I make more than minimum wage. I do, like, office sort of work, or even when I was working, you know, security and things. I haven't worked a minimum wage job in probably 20 years or something, but just the way the economy is and everything, I lost my job on July 9th. And I had like about $1,000 in the bank and everything, and due to basically the agency I was working for misreported, like, when I called in, because there's a law for unemployment, if you're working temporary, you have to report back into them within 3 days of getting laid off. They didn't report that I called back in until a week later, so I was denied unemployment. So, so basically, my whole life savings just went right out for paying, you know, not even that. Luckily, I got, like, I had plenty left, but, you know, just paying rent and gas, going around trying to find another job.
Yeah.
And I found a job, like, basically the last day that I could have and still was able to keep my apartment. If it was another week, I would have lost my apartment.
Ouch.
And things, and, like, I haven't been able to go to a doctor in probably a year and a half, and I'm, like, way overdue. Fortunately,
you can use that service too.
Yeah, that's actually one that I'm going to be inquiring about, because I was going over to the Legacy Clinic,
mm-hmm.
and but they had the
people down there. They're awesome.
Yeah, my doctor at the Legacy Clinic, he was really good and everything, but they had been raising the prices and stuff to a point where
funding.
Due to funding cuts and things. But I was, it got to a point where just to go to a doctor's visit was $75.
Ooh.
And that was a lot of money for me. And,
for half a paycheck for a week.
Yeah, actually, that is more money than I would have got on unemployment if they did give it to me. My unemployment was only $75 a week. Because I had worked as...
I'd love to meet somebody that can live off that in a week.
Yeah, really.
I really can't understand.
People do it, though.
Yeah, I was a nanny for a year, and most of my pay was the room and board and the free car and everything, and I only got like $600 a month in spending money, which I had lived comfortably off of that because my room and board and everything was taken care of.
Sure.
But when they went to calculate my unemployment, they based it on me making...
$600.
Yeah, $600 a month, which is about $4 an hour. So they gave me basically about $1.80 an hour for unemployment. So yeah, it's like
crazy.
And that's certainly not something you could save up for surgery on.
No.
I mean, I could, I can't save up to go to a dental appointment or anything. So.
All right. Well, hey, I gotta go.
Okay. Thank you for calling in.
I promise I will be there next time you guys do the show.
Great. Good. Fourth Sunday morning. Be here. Be square.
I'll just come down after I get
off work. Be here and be queer.
All right. Well, we're going to go to the next song, Evie's song. Do you have that over there? The title of the song is No Time for Running, and it is going to be playing. So let us know what you think if you want to call in. And we're listening to Eminem, T-Talk at KPFT.
Oh, we have to clarify this. Eminem, not the rapper. Mm-hmm. But this is Melanie and Melissa.
That's right.
Oh, there's another caller.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Is there anybody else on there? I think.
Is there another call? Let's find out.
We're listening to.
Okay.
Okay, we are back.
That was No Time for Running. Miss Evie, would you like to tell us a little bit about that music? This is our guest.
Hello. A resident musician.
Resident musician, also transsexual.
Hello, my name is Evie. I am 24 years old. I am a transgender, transsexual person.
You sound like you're a woman.
You sound like you're at an AA meeting.
Claim your womanhood.
Hi,
sister.
I'm Evie, and
hello,
I am a transsexual.
Evie, and I play music. And
she's awesome. Evie is really talented. She was doing all of those instruments, and she mixed all that and was singing.
I made that music shortly after I decided to transition, and that's the truth. And it was like, I had reached a point, because I'm like kind of, you know, like the kind of trans person that gets to a certain point and then you can't go any further and then you just like get really sad all the time and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. So that's what happened to me, and I was like, nope. And I was like really, you know, bad to myself for a while. I was like, I'm gonna kill myself, which is, it's a really weird thing to feel that way, because you don't feel sad so much mm-hmm. about like anything, but that you want to maybe kill yourself, which is like a really sad thing to feel. So, and then I was like, no, I'm gonna not do that, and then I'm gonna, you know, try to make my life right. And then I started writing a lot of music very quickly, and that's one of the things that I wrote. That's like the first off of a CD that I made. And
you were actually doing that, didn't you say you did that on tour?
I sold that on, when I was on tour with this band that I was in at the time.
In LA?
No, this was in Miami, going up the eastern coast.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, thank you for being here tonight. We love you to death. Evie's be helping us out with the music side of things. And
yeah, now I'm just like a normal, you know, person. I just love
she's not a transgender woman. She's just
I'm
awesome.
A girl.
Just a girl.
She just plays one on the radio.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. On my off time, I'm actually a ghost.
I can't see you.
How well does that pay? I wonder.
Oh,
I need to change
20.
Jobs, I think. Maybe I could be a ghost. I could just talk to people.
Well,
I'm weird, by the way.
We had a caller that called in actually with some info. There actually was another F2M movie, and that was Southern Comfort. Actually, it was a documentary.
Yeah. Yeah,
but in
right.
that segment, there was the F2M man who was dying of ovarian cancer, and there was a pretty touching moment between him and his lover, and it was a really, really, really good documentary.
Yeah,
do you remember
that? See that, but yeah, you mentioned it.
I saw it, and it was amazing.
Yeah, I read the a couple of write-ups on it, and I don't remember the name of the individual it was about, but I heard that it was a really good movie. I'm not sure like when exactly it came out.
Did you see it?
Waving.
It was good, wasn't it?
It was
there was a couple different segments, but I thought that was actually one of the first mainstream movies that I saw dealing with. There was a transgender couple on there, mm-hmm. and then there was also the F2M dying of ovarian cancer.
Yeah,
and he was from Kentucky.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
He was from some rural area.
Really, really, really rural.
Yeah.
And it was a very touching story. I would advise everyone to, you know, go out and try and find that. I'm sure you can find it on the internet.
Possibly. But I saw it on, I think it was HBO, I think it was.
Yeah, it was HBO special.
And you could probably find, I mean, even something, if it's been put out on, like, DVD, you could probably find it, like, at Amazon.com or something like that. I mean, a lot of these movies, I mean, pretty much, like, if it's out there, Amazon probably has it.
Yeah,
or you can.
If not DVD, they probably have a video of it somewhere.
Yeah. Or good old YouTube. I'm sure that you could find anything on YouTube.
Yeah, and some things you don't want to see.
Yeah. Well, you know, I find it as great. My anime, I check up on anime and the lovely drag shows. So check that out on YouTube. Right now, we're going to go into my topic, Missy's topic, coming out in the workplace. This actually is pretty interesting because it hits home with a lot of us. process and dealing with the workplace and coming out, I had lunch with one of my good friends, and she was talking to me about being proud of who I am, and you know, I told her I am proud of being a transsexual, and she said, well, then why aren't you out? And it provoked me to really examine myself and how I felt about myself. And
that was Lily, wasn't it?
That was Lily.
Yeah, and yeah, for those that know, we're talking about Lily Roddy, who is the astrologer in Outsmart magazine.
She's awesome.
Yeah, which is a good friend of mine, and yeah, she's a very insightful individual.
You were actually there at that lunch.
Yeah, I was there. We're at Super Salad on West Gray.
Great, yeah.
And
she really brought it to my attention. She said, you know, if you are, she's out, and she is a very out transsexual woman, and she just basically told me that if I was proud of myself, that I wouldn't really care. And I kind of argued with her, but then I thought about it afterwards, and I was like, you know, I really don't care what people think about me. So that prompted me to come out at my job. I work at a salon in a rural area, and it was kind of crazy, and I wouldn't suggest anyone doing that necessarily without a plan, although being a hairdresser, I have a pretty marketable trade and could probably get a job anywhere, seeing that I'm a good hairdresser. I cut Melanie's hair and a lot of people's hair.
Yeah.
Not my hair. I've cut two people's hair in the room. There's four people, so at least 50%. Would you say I'm a good hairdresser?
I would say you are a good hairdresser.
And I was actually shocked, being in a rural town, the overwhelmingly positive response that I got, which I was not expecting, but I basically set everyone down, and they all thought they were getting fired or I was quitting. But I set them down and told them that I was a transsexual, and that was something that really was an empowering
moment.
I'm
sure they were really glad that they weren't getting fired.
Well, they were really glad it actually were my employees.
Fired.
She thought I was lying. Those of you who know me know that I'm a practical joker, and she's like, I don't believe you. For April Fool's, I played like I was pregnant. That was a joke. I had a pregnancy test, and I was in the bathroom acting like I was throwing up with morning sickness. It was really funny. She's like, I don't believe you. But I assured her, yes, I am a transsexual, and yes, I'm telling the truth. And I told my owners as well, and they said, you know, as long as I don't suffer performance-wise or it doesn't affect my job, they have no reason to have
any problem. Because
with
I mean,
it. Which is amazing, because being in Texas and being so conservative, I expected a lot of different outcomes.
Because it's very unusual to have a queer person work in the hairstyling industry.
Oh yes, very unusual, very unusual. Actually, there's a lot of heterosexual men now. When I went to school, there was a lot of gay guys, but I go into the schools now and do education, and there's heterosexual men. So
I mean, I guess that's the old thing about not minding straight people as long as they get gay in public and they go to the hairdresser school.
You know, even though I had a positive experience, we were talking earlier about Lopez versus River Oaks, and there's a young lady, I don't know if you're familiar, but I will fill you in a little bit. Izzy Lopez is a local woman, and she is actually involved in a case locally with River Oaks, and she was discriminated against, she feels, based on being a transsexual.
Yeah, I actually met her at the Transgendered Unity Banquet this last year. She was one of the guests there, and I talked to her a little bit about that. And from meeting her, it's like, I mean, unless she told you she was transsexual, you wouldn't know. I mean, it was, I think, I don't know the exact details if she told them or if they just...
Actually, she did tell them. She had a friend that worked there, and she checked it out, and it was at a place in River Oaks, and... You know, she was upfront. She didn't want to change her job. She had a good job, and she was assured that everything would be okay. And then once she put in her notice, she did the background check, interviews with human resources, and then they told her later on that she had misrepresented herself as a woman and that she cannot be hired on. And she said... it's actually the article that I read up on this issue was in Lambda Legal Impact, and it's a local issue going out right now. She's on the cover. She's a very beautiful young lady. But she said that they didn't want me to work there simply because I'm transgendered. That hurt. They made me feel like I was a monster or something they didn't want to have around. And, you know, I can definitely, being in the closet and, you know, living stealth, identify with that. And I applaud her for standing up and actually, you know, challenging that, because I think that the more that those of us who stand up and, you know, kind of fight for our rights as individuals do that, hopefully things will get better. I know that that's an ongoing thing that she is doing as far as the case Lopez versus River Oaks. If you want to get the Lambda Legal Impact issue.
Actually, it's not River Oaks. It's River Oaks Diagnostic Center, isn't it? River Oaks is like the whole subdivision.
I think the case is Lopez versus River Oaks.
But, I guess they abbreviated it.
Yeah, it was. Let me see here.
I think it was River Oaks Diagnostic Center. It's a
she was applying
clients.
For a job as a scheduler. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it just says River Oaks, but
yeah. You know, one of the things that bothers me with that is she was working as a scheduler, which, like, unless I'm totally mistaken, I don't think that you need to have one set of genitals or the other
well,
in order to schedule an appointment.
We know that.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's like, whether they're transsexual or not, that's definitely discrimination. I mean, you know, if not transsexual, sexual discrimination.
Yeah.
That's like saying that because they were considering her not a woman, but you know, if, as transsexual, they were considering her basically to be a man. That's like saying a man can't do that job, a woman can, or something.
They rescinded the offer just because they said that she had misrepresented herself, which actually she had told them and had checked it out, you know.
Yeah.
Which I think really sucks. And, you know, she was trying to cover all of her bases, and she didn't want to leave her job, you know. And she tried to go back to her job, and she couldn't go back to her job. They said no, you know, and she was basically out of a job until the article says that she found a job with her family as a nanny, which I believe she's doing now, if the article is up to date. But it really sucks, you know, that goes on in the workplace. And
yeah, unfortunately, that's something that happens quite a bit. And
yeah, and I was really lucky, you know. I mean, I would urge people, if they're going to do that, do like Izzy did and kind of have a plan, you know.
Yeah, well, there was a big thing before you moved down to Houston. There was a big problem the transgender community was having with the Human Rights Campaign.
Yeah.
Because they were one of the big sponsors of the ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, and they were not wanting to include transgender in that. And transgenders, it's one thing not to discriminate because you're gay or lesbian, but the thing about it is, like, where I work, I'm not really out, because it just doesn't matter to me whether they know or not. I mean, it's like, I'm not ashamed who I am, but I don't just, you know, like, I don't wear like a rainbow shirt to work and run up down the halls, you know, screaming it.
I think it's a personal decision.
Yeah, it's a personal thing. For me, it's like, you know, I really could care less what the people I work with, if they know about my sexuality or not. But, are you all right over there? I think she's
I've got allergies.
Allergic to the radio.
Well, I mean, and looking at you, you wouldn't obviously identify yourself as a transgendered woman. You know, you look just like a regular woman. And most of us, you know, you can't tell.
That's the thing. It's like, I was talking to somebody one time, and they were like, and what was it? So I said, like, oh, well.
Think quick.
They had met somebody, and they were like, wow, that's like the first transgender person I've met. And I was you've
heard
probably
that.
Met 100, 200
so
far. And
I just didn't know it. And that's one thing that a lot of us, we blend in, and we go stealth, and that's the goal for a lot of us. But I really applaud Izzy for standing up and,
definitely.
Standing up for her rights and the rights of all of us, you know, if we want to do that. Also, I know that in Lambda Legal, they have a publication for out at the workplace, a toolkit for workplace equality. And it says that kit gives an overview of the laws in the United States that prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation, gender identity and expression, and HIV status. It also provides an extensive question and answer about common workplace issues for lesbians, gay men, bisexuals, transgendered people, and people with HIV. And if you visit www.lambdalegal.com www.lambdalegal.org. You can download a copy of that, or you can also get that available at their office. They have a local office, but I believe you can get that information from the website at www.lambdalegal.org. And that's definitely something that I would recommend for people to get. I want to get a copy of that, you know, because it has all of those questions and answers. And I think it's definitely something that knowledge is power. And if you can protect yourself with knowledge, then, you know, have you ever been discriminated against at work? Or I know you work here locally.
I feel like I did. I actually quit my job because they wouldn't call me anything but my boy name, and it made, like, customers feel weird.
Uncomfortable.
Because it's like, they're talking to me and, you know, they just automatically identify me as being, you know, a girl or whatever, and then it'll be like, oh, and that's a boy, and then everybody's like awkward around me, and I'm like,
I have to interrupt. We're at the top of the hour, and we are KPFT Houston. All right. Now, getting back to what you were saying, you said you've been discriminated against at work, and I mean, I've lived as a woman since I was 15. I transitioned when I was 15. I got discriminated against at school, but, you know, that was horrible. They did similar issues with me, like calling me out in class by my boy name. And
yeah, it just makes people feel weird. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, especially if they don't know, because look at you, you look like a girl, you know, and customers don't need to know that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Wow. It's just weird. I was going to say about this Izzy girl, it would be really weird. Like, I was, you know, like, if she went in there and was just like, hi, I'm a man, and, like, tried to get a job.
Well,
like,
and I think that that's the purpose, you know, of why would you...
Like,
why would you
not
do something like that? Obviously, you know, and I've had my name and my gender changed on my
maybe
documentation.
Maybe they just have a really bad definition of what a man is.
I don't know.
Like, that's a man.
And
like,
I tell you, it's their loss, you know. Obviously, she was a good employee, and, you know, it's their loss.
I don't know if that's what they want on their team.
We have Mel on a call right now. We also have in the studio with us Miss Sweet Madam Blue. How you doing over there, Miss Blue?
I'm well, thank you.
She is quietly observing us and having a good time chilling. This is KPFT Tea Talk. We are having a wonderful time here. We are going to be playing one of Miss Evie's songs. Do you have that still queued up? Track five. Yeah, track five. Do you remember that?
Which one was that?
Track five.
I don't remember.
You don't remember? All right, well, we're going to play track number five. And this is one of Evie's songs. She graciously just downloaded some music for us. And we're going to talk to her a little bit after this song about this song. All right?
Okay.
Are you ready?
Listen how you're Hello.
All right, we're back on the air.
Yeah.
And Evie, would you like to tell us a little bit about that? And
sure. That's a song I wrote a little while ago.
What is the name of that song?
Ooh,
is it titled?
Song. I don't remember now. But
Number five.
Number five.
It had a
name at some point.
We'll give it a name.
But, we were just talking about you know.
I would say. What I thought when I heard that song right now is like, oh yeah. The weird thing about all this stuff is that I've been writing a lot of music since I like started to transition and whatnot. And the weird thing is that one of the big things that like I have changed is my voice. And so it's strange because I sing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know,
and you sing well, by the way, I might add.
Thank you. But, it's weird, because I used to sing, like, you know, a boy or whatever, I guess, you know, and, like...
Or whatever. Oh, my God, are you saying you're a boy?
Oh, my God, girls can be boys?
Wow.
And, it's a mixed up, muddled up world we live in.
But, yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, oh, this is great.
That was how we started the show off, was with Lola from the Kinks, wasn't it?
Yeah. Woo! Musical transition.
Yeah. Well, so what you're saying is you've, like, changed your musical style and transition singing and musical style. And
my musical style
you were talking about
has changed.
How it was before you were
and, like, this
darker
is all, like,
and depressed.
During,
and,
yeah,
this
is, like,
was kind of light.
I really like dark and depressing music, though. But I'm, like, here I am, like, dressed all in black.
You're semi-dark.
I'm the resident goth. Of the
I'm coining that phrase.
What's that?
Semi-dark.
Semi-dark?
Semi-dark.
Yeah, just semi-dark.
Oh, yeah.
From there down, up here.
Yeah. Well, that's because I'm goth. My skin's white as paper, just about.
And hear that, boys and girls? You can be goth and still be okay.
You can be goth and be a lesbian transsexual.
That's right.
And life is good.
Sorry,
yeah, people can't believe I'm goth because I think goths always have to be depressed. I'm like, I say depression for special occasions.
Yeah.
I will remember that.
Yeah, I'll wait for Christmas and I'll be really depressed. I'll call you up in the middle of the night.
That would be an interesting topic of discussion during the holidays because, you know, dealing with depression and stuff, a lot of transgendered folks are sometimes alienated from their families. And I luckily have two sisters that are really supportive of me and we have created our own little family unit or tribe. But I think
I'm like your wacky cousin or something now.
My wacky cousin.
Like your Uncle Fester or something. Thing, I don't know.
Well, I would hardly think of you as Uncle Fester.
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't look like Uncle Fester.
I could put a light bulb
in your mouth. If you
could
put a light bulb in your mouth and light it up, we're going to make some money.
Yeah.
For the TG fund, of course. But yeah.
And a light bulb.
Actually, we should do a probably, you know, for our holiday show.
I will
December
make a note of that. Holiday.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to address that.
I'm so organized. I love it.
Oh, yeah, we got notes and everything, crayons and sticky paper and all this other stuff. You know, Maria, back when we used to do the show a long time ago, we just had stone knives and bear skins and things like that, you know, which Jimmy brought from his personal stash at home.
Wow. That's all I can say to that. Yeah. Wow.
Wowzer. Yeah.
How are we doing on time over there, Jim?
We're fine.
All right.
Did we do the station ID
and
everything?
Well, of course we did. Right. We are professional.
I was out of the studio. We had a call came in. There was a person who was driving from Houston back to, I think it was Austin. The phone kept cutting in and out, so I didn't get a whole thing of that. But they were saying that they are actually they're in a gay relationship right now. But they were if I could understand it right, they were beginning the process of transition, and they weren't sure how to basically come out to their male lover that they were transitioning.
Yeah.
So the best thing, you know, like I told them, like you know, I'm not a therapist. I can't really tell things over the phone. The best thing I recommended to, like, as we mentioned before, that Trans Houston site is to get on there and log in, talk to things. If they're already seeing a therapist for the transition, to definitely talk to the therapist about things like that, because that's one thing. It's like this whole process is so difficult, and there's a lot of people that, you know, the non-transgender people, they think, one day we wake up and we're like, you know, I'm tired of being a guy.
Oh, yeah, it's a choice.
And we just, like, go out to the medicine store, you go to the vitamin aisle and find the hormones. And
choose. Yeah. Choice. Blah.
And
I
the
magic cauldron,
I hate
actually.
That.
The magic cauldron.
I do all of my transition in a magic cauldron.
Oh, yeah. Ugh. You just get the hormone-infused incense or something. Do a little chant, do a couple of backflips.
No. Well, you've known this way. I know between us, we probably have a lot of. I transitioned when I was 15. I'm 29 now.
I probably transitioned when you were 21. 15.
you transitioned when I was 15?
Probably.
So we've got a lot of experience between us.
Yeah, Jimmy's giving me like this hairy eyeball look.
You
I don't know.
Forget what that I knew you before your transition.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's a story there.
Well, yeah.
Maybe we should interview
I still remember the look on Jimmy's face. Actually, it was a while back. It was actually on the 20th anniversary of them repealing the anti-cross-dressing ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember right, didn't they declare that as like Phyllis Pride Day in Houston or something?
Yes, they did.
And we got in here and we were talking about that. And was Phyllis here or was it?
No.
I can't remember who. I know they had a dinner for Phyllis earlier that night. And
Phyllis has never been on the show.
Oh,
she can't stay up that late.
Once you get so old, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, if it wasn't for those hourly vitamin shots or IVs or whatever they got you on over there, Jimmy, I'm sure you've been.
No, I'm a vampire. Yeah, that's what it is.
I know. Chris is always saying you suck. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand what he meant.
And very like, well, too.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
I'm blushing for those of you who can hear that.
Yeah.
I know he's a virgin ears.
Oh, see, that was fang that he was saying. I never heard the N in
virgin
it.
Ears?
Yeah, until just now.
But that was it. I remember that day we came in, and actually, let's see, who was it?
That was like 1971, wasn't it?
When it was revealed, yeah. And it was like 91 we did the show.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what her name was.
It was the early 70s.
Yeah, I think it was it was like 71. It was
and before that, women in Houston could not wear fly front pants.
Yeah,
wow.
Those were considered men's pants. It was interesting that law was actually used more to harass the lesbians than it was to harass transgender people.
Yes,
but because like they would come into like the lesbian bar, any woman wearing like zipper front pants,
they got tickets or went to jail.
Yeah, because it was they either zipped on the back or on the side.
Mm-hmm.
If they zipped in the front, they were men's pants. And something as stupid as where you stick the zipper.
Yeah,
yeah, it's like it's kind of like you know. On dress shirts,
I would like to go on record as saying there's a lot of stupid laws that have been made.
Women have to wear drawstring.
And thank God for people who challenge those stupid laws.
And our transgendered lawyers that are out there, too. Like,
that's right. Big ups to transgendered lawyers.
And remember how they got it repealed? The big homophobe on city council, they waited till he went to the bathroom.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And they just rushed it through.
They rushed it through.
And when he came back, it was gone.
Yeah, that was, I'm trying to remember. I can't remember.
John Goodman.
I was saying, I can't remember who was doing the show, who was our host for the show that night, but I remember.
It wasn't Sarah?
It wasn't Sarah. I'm trying to remember. It was, without sounding too
Ginkgo Biloba.
It was, I'm totally blanking on her name. It was the big, tall, black lady that I'm totally blanking
on
her name.
Oh, yes. And I am, too. And she moved away. And
Monica Roberts.
Wow.
She was extra cool, too. But
yes.
I remember, I was just kind of, I came to just hang out in the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
And her guests like canceled that, so they brought basically all the trans people that were just kind of hanging out in, and we were just discussing trans stuff in general,
yeah,
but talking about things and
Well, if that was Monica, it must have been about 95.
Yeah, it was something like that. You know, 91, 95, in that. I don't think it was 91. That was before that was before I got around. No, actually, I think it was closer to 2000. It was maybe like...
Really?
Yeah, it was like late 90s. But...
wow.
They... it was... interesting. We were talking about things, and we got talking about transition in general. And I remember you made the comment and said, "Yeah, you know, you start on the hormones, and it change. You know, you grow breasts, and you get hips and everything, and it changes your voice." And I told,
it. Actually, it doesn't change your voice, does it?
Yeah. That's the thing is, I was telling Jimmy that it doesn't change your voice. No. Jimmy, and what did you say to me, Jimmy?
What?
You were telling me about my voice. You said I had a fantastic voice. I said, "Well, thanks a lot, Jimmy." And
wow.
Jimmy's jaw like bounced off the table about two or three times.
Yeah.
And, but it's kind of interesting, you know, going back, you know, what reminded me of that story was Evie talking about how things change with the transition and the music. And, you know, I have a friend who is a transgender musician, which I'm going to see if I can get her to send us some of her music.
You
and
bet.
Things. She's living
Please.
Up in Missouri right now. Mm-hmm. She was actually
my
roommate.
The girl you were talking about earlier?
Yeah. My friend Katie. And, she, you know, she doesn't really, you know, label herself as transgender musician. She's just a musician that just happens to be trans. But,
which is okay.
Yeah. You know, if you're trans, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that.
Two different things.
Yeah.
Career and.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, you can be gay and be a dentist. It's
well, so many people, you know, that is one thing, too, that's interesting because a lot of people make that such a big part of their life. And one of the girls I used to work with at a salon would shove that down people's throats and her clients would be like, oh, I'm a transsexual. And it's just, I would get so frustrated because...
I mean, I'm transsexual. It's like, you come up, I'm a transsexual. I don't care.
It's just one component of my life and one small part that makes me.
I mean, that's like running up going, you know, I'm a Sagittarius. And just like, and you know, it's
girl,
like, okay, that's fine. You know, but I'd really like to have my sandwich now.
Shots and surgeries that she had with like 6 and 7 year old kids. She was cutting their hair. It was kind of crazy.
Oh, man. It's like most of your, unless you're
like
telling them you had a
TMI,
surgery to become
honey.
SpongeBob, they don't really care.
TMI. Oh, yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah. What's TMI? Transsexual maniac? What?
Well,
in the room or something? TMI?
Transsexual maniac
in transition, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. But, well, we hope you're having fun with us.
Because it's obviously we're not using a script.
We ran out of the script and we're just kind of killing time. Reliving the memories. I feel young. I just have to say, listen to him talk about.
Feel young.
I was born in 78, so I love you guys for informing me of the history. And
this is where I met my lover.
I come from Indiana, where there wasn't a really big transgender community, and I feel very, you know. Amazed.
Yeah, coincidentally, I came from an area that didn't have a big transgender community either.
What
state
was that?
That was Indiana, which is kind of interesting because, like, we have three transsexuals here in the building tonight. They're all from Indiana originally. So,
oh my goodness!
We
moved to the great city of Houston.
How did that happen?
I don't know. I guess you know,
destiny.
I guess build it and they will come.
And we don't
something,
mean the drag queen
something.
Destiny either.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like I heard of it.
I don't know Destiny.
I knew of a drag queen called Victoria, and I knew Victoria's Secret. It was duct tape.
Well, yes, I know that as well. That could be Melissa's Secret or Vashanti's Secret, Evie's Secret. We all know about.
I use duct tape for a lot of things, but I've never used it for like on me.
We have a visitor.
Yeah.
Oh,
we're offering a special transition tonight.
We're like up on Red Bull's FYI to the
True.
Community.
It works.
It gives you wings. We are sponsored tonight by Red Bull.
I thought that was your maxi pads that gave you wings.
No, honey, that's not me.
I don't have boobs.
Not yet.
But I do not want to be a trans.
Well, it's okay. If you got boobs, then.
Boy, does he.
Oh, it's okay.
They're parked and they're pierced too, aren't they?
Just this one.
Okay.
Just one, for now.
Well, yeah. If you're out there and you're wanting to call in, feel free to call in and talk to us. We have the announcements here. I'm going to go through again. You can visit the www.transhouston.com.
And what is that phone number?
That phone number is 713-526-5738.
5238. It's 713.
I'm looking at a number.
KPT. What?
It's yeah. 5238. No, it's right above
5738.
No.
I guess I'm thinking of somebody else then. I guess.
Get with the program now.
Oh, yeah.
Get with the program.
Have you had your eyes checked recently? All I remember.
She's wearing glasses.
Yeah. All I remember is 713 Jam KPFT. That's how I remember it.
That number again is 713-526 KPFT, and we're sitting here. This is Tea Talk with Eminem, Melanie, and Melissa.
Momo,
if you will, if you're nasty. Miss Momo, Momo if you're nasty. And we are here with Evie. She is our special guest, and she is a musician who happens to be
a musician,
a transgendered woman.
I happen to be transgendered.
Yes. Please visit www.transhouston.com and also tsroadmap.com. They are great resources. Also, we talked about the Houston TG Fund Association. They have meetings, and we're looking for interest and sponsorship for that. So if you want to support that, and we're trying to get that going. It's a really, really important thing for the trans community, and we're trying to get interest generated in that. And Melanie and I are serving, hopefully, on the board for that.
Yeah, trying to get that thing going.
We just had a garage sale. We raised a lot of money. We were up pretty early, but it was great. Also, we have upcoming classes. If you are a transgendered person and you want to talk about sexuality, September 15th.
I always want to talk about sexuality.
You are always talking about sexuality.
I was talking about sexuality on the way here.
Melanie.
When I go home.
Yeah, if you put your foot on her, that is sexuality.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that, you know, that... Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. That's going to be at the GL, our GLBT center.
Let me correct that. If women touch me, I find that sexual.
Yeah, she is a lesbian and a butch lesbian, so you better be careful.
When guys touch me, I take that as like a request for martial arts practice.
What if they're gay? What if they're gay?
Still. Well, okay. unless it includes like a shoulder massage or something.
Buy your dinner. I'm sure that'll be okay.
I always use dinner. Yeah.
They also have on October 13th for the female to male guys, it's F2M roadmap from 3 to 5, and that is for female to males and significant others as well. Also coming up in November 17th at the Houston Holocaust Museum, it's the annual Day of Remembrance, and we will be getting together and having a lovely service to remember all of our sisters and brothers who have been hurt and killed in the past and the history, and we'll be naming of names, and there'll be a service, and I am actually on the cab with Melanie, and we're trying to get that going. Kristen Williams is going to be heading that up, so you can find out more information on www.transhouston.com.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, you said on the cab. We're not sharing a cab. That's community advisory board.
Yeah. So yes, and like, that actually is a board that directs activities and stuff. So, in the trans community. Also, if you were listening earlier, HACS, Houston Area Community Services, the Joseph Hines Clinic, is going to be offering services to transgendered folks on a sliding scale fee starting in September. That is going to be $35 for a doctor's visit plus labs and just basically at cost. And that number is 713-426-0027. Actually, Kristen Williams and Carolyn Bosma and all those folks down there are involved with that, and they are lovely ladies, and they will get you hooked up with the right people. And they will take care of you. And that's starting once again on September 1st for Transgendered Services Clinic. Also, coming up September 22nd, they were talking to Miss Vanity. I mean, we'll talk about this pageant because I'm actually entertaining
At this
pageant.
You're
always entertaining, but you're going to be at the pageant also.
I'm going to be doing drag. And, yes. Female and impersonation.
That means
you're going to put
wig.
On a man's suit?
No, yeah. That means that I'm going to be wearing wigs and lashes.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of, that would be like Jimmy dressing up as a gay man, I think.
Yeah.
Right.
Really?
That is Saturday, September 22nd.
How gayer can
eight
I
to
get?
Two. Hey,
I don't know.
I want to see your Liza. For those of you that don't, come on. Do your Liza.
No.
Come on, Jimmy.
Oh, come on.
No.
I've got a dollar. I'll tip ya.
I gotta say, it's kind of interesting out of this whole group. Jimmy's the only one wearing pink.
Yes.
Hey, Jimmy, I got
I'm
a dollar.
I'm wearing pink.
Huh? That
I'm
is not pink.
Pink. That is pink. I've got pink nail polish.
That's purple.
Like purple.
Pink.
Okay, your watch is pink.
Thank you very much. I've got several shades of pink and pink shoes. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yes, but I wear.
I am femme.
I wear pink every day.
What color? Oh, I can't go there.
Every day.
Every day?
Yes.
I do too. It's my watch.
No.
It says no to live in the now. It's pink.
I don't think I
wear
one
more
pink
than
color.
That every day.
Well,
well you're
British.
You're not supposed to. Okay.
I mean, even my underwear is black tonight.
Well, that
are you
is
wearing
TMI.
Them these days?
Yes, I am.
What are you talking about, baby?
Good Lord. Well, we're glad you're wearing underwear.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing that with the listening audience.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, my...
If you would, if you'd like... Oh, keep it going. Okay.
No, that's not what that means.
That means shut the heck up. That's radio hand signal for shut up.
Okay.
That means wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
We have to, all right. Well, September 22nd, 8 p.m. to 2 p.m. at the Chateau at Midtown. That is located at 1220 Taft Street in Houston, Texas. They are having a Transgendered Houston 2007 pageant, and it is for transgendered, transvestites, cross-dressers, mm-hmm. and it actually is not open to professional entertainers.
Right.
Amateurs only. And Miss Vanity is putting that on. Actually, the proceeds are benefiting the TG Fund.
Good.
And so, it's kind of a cross-representation. Tickets are $15 in advance and $20 the night of the pageant. Seating is limited. And you definitely want to come out and visit and watch the show. It's going to be a great show. We've got lots of entertainers. I, myself, am going to be entertaining.
Cool.
And Vanity is going to be there also. There is a special guest with Shantae Blue, my sister, and tickets are available online through PayPal at www.vanitytransformations.com, and you should check that out. And if you have any questions, visit that site, or you can get a hold of Vanity. I don't know if that information is on here. I'm looking at the brochure as we speak. Vanity Wild is available through that site. So if you want to contact her, you can get tickets, and we are going to be wrapping it up. Say goodnight.
And what do you have coming up next, Jimmy?
We've got the round table.
The round table.
Oh,
even though
I love that.
This is sort of round table.
Yes.
It's like a semicircular.
It's a half moon.
It's a half moon. Well, that you need to pull your pants up then.
That's just one cheek.
Oh, okay. Well, they say turn the other cheek.
Oh,
well.
It gets so hot in here. I'm blushing again, folks.
Well, what kind of music do we have to transition to that other segment?
Well, long ago, we had somebody call in and requested some music for his boyfriend.
Oh, okay.
So, how sweet.
We didn't happen to have what he wanted, but we've got another blast from the past because he was interested in 80s music.
80s
so
music.
So this is Erasure with L'Amour.
All right.
Oh, that's so romantic.
And you're listening to it on After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude right here on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM.
It's high.
Cool. Good job.
Yay.
Good job.
Jetzt möchte ich vorstellen die anderen Mitglieder der Gruppe. Zuerst die Oberheimer Spender.
I can't get relief from the love that I crave. 110
When he says stop, he means it. Who knew? That was Jeff Krasner, our friend Jeff Krasner, with 110 in the Shade, which, oh my God. Houston in August. What else could I play? Yeah.
Are we all thing on?
I don't know. Are
That's
we all
the fastest 4 minutes.
Oh my goodness.
Time flew when you're having
a cigarette. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, this is on.
And before that...
Where's everyone at?
Was,
outside, coming in.
Before that was Erasure with Ella Moore.
Oh, I love them.
Yes, they have a brand new CD out. Awesome. Which is just as fabulous as all their others. Let's see here.
Hi.
Who's got for us, Jimmy?
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm
good.
Okay, who do we have here tonight?
Got Virgin here.
Mm-hmm. A virgin, huh?
We're not sacrificing honey.
Is this the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Could be.
Oh my gosh.
Well, we got Eddie over there already, so I guess.
I'm just a sweet transvestite. Mm-hmm. From transsexual. I'm just a sweet transvestite.
Oh my God.
How was that?
Great.
That Can you tell good. I was in drama when I was in high school?
No.
What was that?
I have a quote from Armistead Maupin.
Yes.
The author of Tales of the City.
Mm-hmm.
And the first...
I just read Michael Tolliver Lives.
Ah. He was the first celebrity I ever interviewed here at KPFT, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
Many, many, many years ago. And it was like 19 years ago that I interviewed him. I was so green and I was so starstruck. I was just a blithering idiot.
Yeah, I was the same way when I met Lucas Christian last week.
That's for a different reason. Anyway, I have this. I thought this was a marvelous quote from Armistead Maupin at a book signing that he did recently, and it goes. I'm going to read this, and I want everybody's opinions.
Mm-hmm.
The Church of Scientology is the biggest ex-gay movement in America. They catch you when you're young and confused, tell you that they'll look after you, even provide you with a wife and child. Then, of course, you have to do what they call an audit, where you confess everything you've ever done into a tape recorder, so they've got the tapes. So once you're famous and successful, you have to go along with all of their nonsense. Then you play a woman in a movie musical, a part created by a drag queen and written by a gay man.
Yes.
I know what he's talking about.
Gee, I wonder who.
Well, we know you're talking about Tom Cruise.
No,
we're not talking about him. We're talking about somebody else.
Although it would be interesting to hear his tape.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, would it
ever.
But
the thing is, I think he actually does believe it. I don't think it's completely coercion. Why do we care?
Yeah.
He's an entertainer. Yeah, exactly. I mean, other than the fact that it'd be wonderful if you could just be honest about his whole history, even if he's happy with his wife and child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. By the way, I just did read Michael Tolliver Lives, and it's wonderful. It's been a long time since he wrote a Tales of the City.
Yes.
And he said people kept coming up to him and going, I'm so glad you stopped writing those books, because, you know, Michael would be dead by now, and that would have been so awful to have written that. And he went, you know, everybody's not dead.
That's right.
And so he wrote Michael Tolliver Lives, and it's wonderful and really, really funny. Really
now,
funny.
Where did this quote appear?
In The Advocate. The August 28th Advocate. Yes, why?
I was just wondering.
Well, he's really got his pulse on, his finger on the pulse of
well, it's interesting from
gay culture
culture
in general.
Two things from the John Travolta thing, and of course the Tom Cruise thing, and everybody else thing, and then the Scientology issue. You know, it's
well, I mean,
you know, it's some dead man who wrote a religion.
Isn't that a religion, though?
Yeah, that's
just pretty much.
We're talking about a guy who wrote a religion who told people, if you want to get rich, write a religion.
Yeah.
All right, just
right.
Make up a religion.
To be clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what he said. He was a two-bit author. He did some science fiction, and one of his quotes.
And dabbled in Satanism with Anton LaVey and everything before he wrote a religion.
L. Ron Hubbard, people, look him up.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
And then the whole science fiction story about how supposedly Earth got started is you think the Bible's wacko. Their creation story is even more
the
wacko.
The Silmarillion is more believable than their version.
Yes.
I'm not familiar with Scientology, so.
Me neither.
But it sounds really interesting.
No.
The faces of the celebrities that.
Do not waste your time. Do not waste your time.
Well, I know about the Church of Latter-day Saints, and I was approached by somebody, and that's pretty interesting. I was like, oh.
Yeah, do you remember a show called Millennium? Before the Millennium?
Yes.
They did, and it was one of their Emmy award-winning episodes. They did an entire show as a parody of Scientology, and if you can get a chance to go back, I don't remember which season it was, and watch that. You know, get it on internet or go rent it.
YouTube, or something.
It is hilarious.
Well, actually, a lot of the methods they use can be helpful. I mean, like William Burroughs and Leonard Cohen, and a lot of very interesting people in the early days of Scientology checked it out, and basically a lot of them say, you know, yeah, it can be really helpful, that whole thing of clearing actually can help you clear some stuff, but it's all the political, organizational, typically with religion stuff that is really scary and where you sort of have to get out quick.
Well, and I think that happens with a lot of the major religions. It gets political.
Yeah,
and
whatever good for you, good the therapeutic start does for you, the organization cancels out any good that it does.
Yeah. That episode of X-Files, which one was it?
It was Millennium.
Millennium. Because I saw most of them. I didn't get to see all of them, and I don't remember that one in particular.
It was the one that had the guy from, and this is horrible because his career is better than this, but, you know, I'm not that old, so sorry.
Yeah, okay.
From the tic-tac-toe game, the Hollywood Squares. He was always on Hollywood
John
Squares.
Anderson.
Yeah, he's an older guy now.
Jim J. Bullitt?
No. Yeah, maybe.
No, not him.
Yeah, because his career was never better than that.
No, this guy's career was actually happened, and he wrote for both X-Files and for Millennium.
Ooh,
on
really?
More than one option.
Wow.
So,
hey, Whoopi was on TikTok,
yeah.
on you know
Hollywood Squares.
Hollywood Squares.
Yeah. I heard Paul Lynde was really interesting when he was on.
Oh yeah.
Are you talking about Charles Nelson Reilly?
He has a very distinctive voice.
And he's very feminine.
Very gay?
Yeah, he's a little gay and eccentric. Yeah.
Charles Nelson
yeah,
Reilly.
With yeah, he's got a beard.
Yeah.
He's sort of,
yeah,
it's like a perfect
yeah.
circle. He's
Richard
a perfect circle on a perfect circle.
Yeah, yeah.
He sort of looks like he could be Cartman's grandpa.
Exactly.
Cartman's weird uncle.
The right guy.
Oh,
yeah,
what?
Him.
Oh, I know him.
Bruce yeah. Valanche?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Blonde? Yeah, I bet you it's Bruce.
Blonde hair?
I bet you it is.
Cartman's uncle. That was a great description.
Yep.
Okay.
And he's written for The Advocate.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and everything else. He's great.
Okay.
He knows everybody in Hollywood.
He's kind of a gay humorist.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
And they didn't right out call it Scientology because they didn't want to get sued.
Well, of course.
But they had the little stress test device. Different Strokes had an episode with the stress test device, too, by the way.
Stress test device?
Yeah. That's
the EGRAM. Enneagram.
Yeah.
Enneagram. EGRAM.
Do they do that so they can see if you're lying?
No, it's part of the method of meditation.
Proof,
and actually, as the device goes, it's not entirely... It's not that cheesy. It's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, and it's sort of if you register a charge, if you have a charge around an issue, then it registers. And so you want to, when you don't have a charge around an issue, then you've
cleared
it.
Right.
You know, and it's questionable as to, you know, how foolproof it is.
Wow. So what are their views on homosexuality and, like, transsexuals?
I think they like you said, it's a big X. Gay thing.
They're very anti-homosexual.
Yeah. It's curable is their
oh,
idea.
They're like very big on pelvic theology.
Well, and explain.
Enlighten us of pelvic
theology is my little word for any type of religious doctrine that focuses on the act of sex or the reproduction ability of the species that you are in.
See, their problem is that some religions condemn the act, but a majority of religions condemn the person.
Hmm.
You know? And that's my sticking point. You know? Why condemn a person because of the way they act? You know? You're not here to judge them, okay? That's not your job. You know?
It depends on your religion.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about...
Well, yeah, because...
I don't know.
Because in Michael Tolliver Lives, part of the whole story is him going, his mother is dying and he goes back to Florida and they're all, and his brother has become a Christian because of the wife. And there's all these, like, he's going into this incredibly Christian atmosphere and he really examines the whole Southern thing, and it's not just Southern, of like how they just love being able to forgive you. And hate the sin and love the person, that they just totally just get completely all excited about being able to be around somebody and hate the sin and forgive the sinner. Just spend their whole life forgiving you for all the awful things that you're doing. And how insane it is.
Yes.
How like schizophrenic that is.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
The human condition is very tough.
And then they'll never actually, and it keeps them from ever having to accept you as you are.
Well, I think a lot of people take Christianity to a whole different level.
Oh, well, it's not
which
only
Christianity.
Which hybrid of Christianity are you going to talk about?
Yeah, I don't know, because, I mean, from what I was taught, and I go to MCC, but, like, three of the greatest love stories in the Bible, two of them were
gay relationships. So Jonathan and David and Ruth and Naomi.
And yep. Some people, and there's certain, and I've known gay people who said yes, but that wasn't sexual.
Oh, now Jonathan
so who
David.
Who knows?
He stood up in front of his dad, and his dad was hot and said he had disgraced his family, and he was ashamed.
There? You were
That's
there?
That's what it says.
You were there?
That's what it says.
Well, first of all, it sounds like you're kind of being fundamentalist in the sense of, like, that the word of God is exactly the Bible.
That doesn't matter. The fact is, the church...
I mean, it's a bunch of stories.
Yeah.
The church
Who knows? Who knows?
The important thing is that the church had a story that had two people in it that were of the same sex. That's the important part. It doesn't matter whether it's true or not.
That's true.
And it was a major love story. They loved each other.
That's true.
And Ruth and Naomi... Especially the vows, the wedding vows. Everybody talks about having to hold sickness and health, so that this part I'll follow you to the ends of the earth, and your people will be my people, blah, blah, blah. That is like the biggest thing, and I think it's funny because people use that for the vows of marriage, and it's one thing that gay people can't, you know, become a part of. And
well,
that's another thing that our country needs to realize. If we have freedom of religion and marriage is part of religion, if I'm part of a religion that is okay with gay marriage, guess what?
Either that or I'm moving to Canada.
There we go.
A boot. A boot set.
Okay, next topic real quick?
Next topic.
Actually, I was in Canada a couple of months ago, and it was really neat because I was up in Halifax, in north of Halifax. I was at a month-long, or a two-week-long Buddhist meditation retreat. And there were quite a few lesbians. I all of a sudden realized how many lesbians there were here, at the retreat. It was really wonderful. And what was interesting, because it was Canada, a bunch of them were married. And it was really sort of delightful to kind of be in a country and in a situation where here were these really sort of delightful, eccentric, older, married women that were lesbians.
Well, I think...
And they were just so, like, it was just so natural.
I think all those gay people need to move to Canada.
Oh, they'd be bitter. Here in the U.S., Uncle Sam wouldn't be getting... Uh-uh. A lot of money.
Nope, he wasn't.
Canada's nice. It's kind of cold up there, though, isn't it?
Oh, in winter,
cold.
Yeah.
Way
yeah.
Too cold.
That's
for
why
me.
I moved to Texas. I don't know.
Me, too. Cold. I like the heat.
But, like, in Halifax, I mean, I was there with another friend from Texas, and we both happened to be there, and I said, you know, how can you tell two Texans in Halifax? They're the ones that are disoriented by by all the pedestrian right-of-way signs. I mean, it was just astounding. I mean, cars actually have to stop for people in Halifax. It's really nice.
Well, I do, too. I always thought pedestrians had the right-of-way, but... I mean...
Yeah, well, you try to practice that in Houston, you get flattened pretty quickly.
They have the right-of-way, but not on the interstates.
Yeah. I don't know. I would get a lawyer if somebody ran me over. I'm like...
Yes. Move to Austin. If you hit somebody on a bicycle in Austin, yeah, you're probably going to get hammered. Austin is great for people that like to ride the bikes and walk on the street.
Well, so they actually do, like, really enforce that.
Oh, yeah. No,
I mean,
I
just can't imagine
getting
a pedestrian or...
There's signs everywhere.
Like, I've always been taught that ever since I was driving, and pedestrians always have the right of way, no matter what, so...
Well,
I've never
actually,
ran over
in Houston,
anybody.
A pedestrian is a moving target.
You know, we always joke about the point system.
All I know is... Anytime you're at a grocery store and they have the stripey zone where people coming out the cars have to stop for you.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the look on the drivers' faces and how irritated they look that they're actually having to slow down for human beings.
They must know that I'm from out of town because I just looked them right in the eye and...
I'm like, run over me. See, you know, see what happens.
Yeah. At Walmart, especially.
Yeah. That's because the fire lane and the parking lane are the same.
Speaking of religions, Walmart is crazy down here.
Yes, it
have
is.
You noticed that?
Yes, it is.
Walmarts are everywhere.
Yeah. I live in Galveston.
They're like weeds. They pop up everywhere.
Yeah. And it's five Walmarts. I passed five Walmarts.
No.
My
no
house.
Way.
Oh, my God.
Five.
Yeah, I know. This is the only one
I'm on Galveston. And Zoe ate in my house.
And
five.
And in between each one is sort of a Home Depot.
There are three Home Depots and two Lowe's.
Yeah.
And maybe an Outback.
Well, I don't know, but there are four in Galveston.
Hardly any Starbucks outside the Beltway.
Four in Galveston.
Which is sad.
Which is Starbucks. City.
That's what I love about living in Montrose. No Walmarts.
That's true.
Actually, Jimmy, I hate to burst your bubble, but
what?
In a matter of year, probably another year, year and a half, in Greenway Plaza, they're going to build Costco.
Well, oh, that's still God. Not Montrose.
No.
And it's not Walmart.
It's too damn close.
Speaking of Starbucks, here's completely off the track. Joni Mitchell has a new album that's coming out this fall, and it's going to be on the Starbucks label because she didn't want to do a big company again. But hooray, it's going to be called Shine. And I've always said that Joni Mitchell is the Judy Garland of gay hippies.
Awesome. I think you're probably right about that.
And hooray that she's got another album coming out, finally.
Yes. Okay, it's time to wrap it up.
Aww.
So let's say some goodbyes here.
Good night, everyone.
We can go around
the
and
rock. Whatever will be.
The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera.
Okay. It's time to turn those damn mics off.
Turn them off.
Have a good life.
Goodbye, y'all. See you next week. Love you.
Bye. You've been listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude right here on good old KPFT Houston 90.1 FM. It's time for Laura Palooza. And she is right behind me pulling out that good music for you. So keep listening.
Where in the world are we going? And what can we do about it? Explore both the planetary crisis and our unique opportunity to live the most meaningful lives ever lived. Join us at the Awakening the Dreamer Symposium, Saturday, August 25th, at Thoreau Unitarian Universalist Congregation, 3945 Greenbrier Drive in Stafford. For information and to register for the symposium, call area code 254-932-6745. That's 254-932-6745. You're listening to commercial-free Pacifica Radio on KPFT Houston.
The nomination period for candidates to KPFT's board has begun, and this announcement is our special encouragement to you living in Houston's diverse ethnic communities to run this election and for everyone to vote. KPFT's unique model supports listener and volunteer membership on our local board of directors. Board members assist in fundraising, outreach, and governance at KPFT, but you must be a member to run and vote, and your deadline to be a member is coming up fast, August 31st. For details on the election, visit kpft.org. Our bylaws created local committees of inclusion for each Pacifica Foundation station to, among other tasks, monitor the diversity of board election candidates and work to improve the diversity of board election candidates at the local and national level. Your involvement will make a difference. The nomination period is now open and closes on September 25th. Visit kpft.org for nomination procedure. This announcement is brought to you by our Committee of Inclusion at KPFT.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.